The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
The quarterback, two receivers lined up to the left, one to the right. There's a flanker lined up to the left behind the quarterback. He gives the ball, though. He doesn't get the ball. The receiver goes all the way over there to the left. Once the quarterback has the ball, he fakes to the left. No, he fakes to the right. He doesn't fake. He thinks about fake. He pretends to fake.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
It's not like you could use a shower. Oh, listen, you can think what you want about my personal hygiene, but please don't waste any water. That's bad policy.
Paul Perillo.
So that's what opening up a can of whoop-ass feels like.
Son, you just opened a whole case of whoop-ass.
And Andy. And Andy?
There, girl, you're seeing.
Seeing? I see a lot of girls. I see a lot of guys, too.
I think that's sexy. You ever been with a guy and a girl at the same time?
Oh, yeah, plenty of times. The other night, I was with my mama and Coach Klein at the same time.
Andy Hart.
And I like Vicky, and she likes me back. And she showed me her boobies, and I like them, too.
Eric Scalavino.
I want you to think about all those mean people. They're going to be your tackling fuel.
Tackling fuel.
We're going to use them to play football.
Tackling fuel.
For now, anyway.
Ooh, I'm a football player.
Coach, I'd like to tackle him right now,
please.
Not yet. PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Oh, no! We suck again!
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. It is Thursday here at Gillette Stadium, and I guess the big news today is Sebastian Vollmer's making the rounds. He's going through the car wash here, and as we speak, he's having a press conference with the media, which will be up on Patriots.com shortly after in its entirety. So he's celebrating his new contract with the New England Patriots, so good for him. Mm-hmm. I guess he's going to be on a plane to Germany. He's leaving at around 3 o'clock to go visit someone out in Germany.
His sister's getting married this weekend.
Sister's getting married.
Mm-hmm. So he's going to attend.
He'd be a pretty imposing brother-in-law.
Oh, yeah.
He's a big dude.
Yeah. Yep, sure is. 6'8", 320.
Sure.
And, yeah, and not fat, an ounce
not
of fat.
Not
like I can outrun him or I can
hell no.
Long reach. That guy might want to make sure he's on the straight and narrow.
Yeah.
Although the good news is he's, you know, half a world away most of the time.
And he's
most
used to playing in the shotgun, so the shotgun wedding.
Oh, well done.
Just a clarification, it's a conference call.
Yeah.
What did I say?
Press conference.
And we don't do those.
It's a conference call, correct. So if it was a press conference, we'd have it live on Patriots.com.
Right.
But those conference calls tend to get a
new provider. This week.
Yeah, we've had problems with the technology for those conference calls. A lot of background noise and
can't really hear the guy.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see if it changes.
Hmm.
Yeah, that's actually Sebastian Vollmer in the background.
Right. So and he might call in after.
I think there's a decent chance.
Yeah. So we might actually talk to Sebastian live. So
in German.
Get your
I'm going to say nein.
Get your questions ready. Uben Sie Katzenjammer?
What does that mean?
I think it means, do you have a hangover?
Lead with that and see what he says. It'll be funny. Either way, it'll be funny
it'd
somehow.
It'd be great if it's something profane, too. And
right.
Them all
your mother's going to hang over.
Right.
Wait, what?
All right. So webradio at patriots.com is the email address. 508-298-0398 is the ace ticket hotline. Not a lot of Patriots news.
Well, Gronk.
Well, Gronk with the chair. What did he do? He gave somebody a shirt or something like that?
Oh, it's not what I was talking about. I was just
ESPN.
Talking about the ESPN and he did the car wash, the real car wash.
Yeah.
For he's one of the 8 finalists that are active for Madden. They're doing old versus new this year, so there's the Sweet 16 in the voting to be on the cover of Madden. He's one of the 8 finalists. I think he's going against Adrian Peterson in the voting right now. But he was at ESPN doing Mike and Mike and SportsCenter and different things and similar stuff. You know, how are you? You're great. You're waiting to work out. Blah blah blah. You know. Respects the fans and they care. The one interesting thing I took from it is he was talking about that very day at the airport when he walked through the airport. Everybody had their cell phone camera out, and he's kind of learning that that's how it works for him.
Okay,
you know, a little late.
Yeah, I know.
He might have wanted to learn that about 2 years ago.
Yeah,
but you know, same old stuff, basically.
Yeah. Well, I was I guess he gave some kid in a high school close to where he grew up in New York something last week, or I don't know what it was.
It's a good story.
He makes the rounds. He's out there.
Well, I was thinking if he gave him his jersey, if I were the kid, I'd claim it was the one that B.B. Jones wore.
Oh, yeah. And what would that get you?
Aroused.
Oh. All right.
Are these two on the show?
Yeah, I don't know.
Are we missing breaking news here?
Both Eric and Paul
are pounding away.
Are busy with their smartphones. So I don't know what they're doing.
Just checking the news. Good That's all. Trying to make
smart.
Sure that there's...
I don't know anything about Rob Gronkowski's Madden cover thing. So I let you guys talk.
And he was on ESPN yesterday being kind of silly.
Not defensive at all. I don't know anything about the Madden cover stuff. So
he's got a fresh... Well, I don't know.
I could be a real radio guy
stuff.
And pretend that I know everything about it and
no,
give you my opinion.
I don't know anything about the Madden
Check
cover stuff.
All real radio guys.
Paul coming out swinging.
now that had tone.
He also has a new goatee.
Oh, yeah, which is not.
Which he's dabbled with before. I can remember times when he's come in the locker room with a little hair, and he admits that he struggles to grow it.
Yeah.
It's not really his thing.
It's not really
All right.
Coming in too well.
He's the kind of guy that will look young for a long time, don't you think? He's going to age well. I mean,
I actually think exactly, not I think
bones
exactly the opposite.
I'm talking about face-wise. He's got that baby face.
I think if he continues his partying ways, he'll look really old beyond his years soon.
Yeah.
Okay.
Especially his liver.
Well, I'm not talking about internally.
I mean his face.
But
like guys that drink and party,
when you're up all
that
night.
That shows when you're like 28, you look like you're 30.
The red nose and a...
All right.
Yeah, it's not...
Plus, he's probably going to have multiple surgeries, so there's going to be scarring and limping and
right
that kind of stuff.
Well, that part, yeah. I agree with that.
He's going to get his ass kicked.
other stuff going on. A lot of pro days. Going on, and you know, some of the guys Patriots have no interest in, like Matt Barkley, who I guess didn't do too well.
55 of 60, yeah, and that's good against air,
right?
I mean,
and then but
well, is it his fault?
I don't know, but I just don't care how many passes were completed against air. I want to know, did he throw the ball well? You know, did his arm look strong? Was he hitting guys out of cut? You know, the completion percentage versus air is irrelevant.
The pro days for a guy like Matt Barkley, I think, are important because he's a guy coming off of an injury, and you want to see, okay,
right.
Now before we draft him, is he as good as he was? A pro day for a guy like Andrew Luck last year, absolutely worthless.
Right.
Why do I care about him throwing to guys in shorts with no defenders on them? And
I would
rush?
Actually downgrade him for the 5 incompletions, regardless of whether it was his fault or not. You chose when, where, and how you were going to conduct your pro day, you know. You weren't going to work out on the combine because you don't know the receivers and you don't know the time. Well, there I would say, well, I don't really care if they were complete or not. You know, it was a little bit of a weird setup. But here, you've tailored everything. My guess is they generally script everything. There's a quarterback's coach who says we're going to do this, this, this. So I want 100%. I mean, I'm sorry. You picked your receivers. You picked your spot. You picked your routes.
Your venue.
I wanted 100%. So 5 bad? Yeah, you suck.
Yeah. See, I don't care about his percentage. I'm with Andy on that. I only care about how he throws.
Right.
You know, did he throw the ball well? And
with velocity, accuracy.
You know, do NFL scouts believe that he can make throws at an NFL level?
Because that's the question. With
I don't care.
He's pro-ready in terms of, like, running an offense and the experience
in
that. All that, and people made fun of me, but I called him a poor man's Andrew Luck, and I think he is. Andrew Luck can throw, but a big part of his game is cerebral. He's the man. He runs the offense, pro style. And Barkley has all that. Is he good enough to play?
And I think that's, you know, we can branch off into something a little bit different before we continue with the pro days, Freddie. You bring up the Andrew Luck part of the cerebral, nature of his game. And I think that's something that's overlooked with RG3 and Russell Wilson last year. I think people look at it and say, see, now you can be one of those athletic quarterbacks that runs around and makes plays and plays out of the pistol and does all these different things. Well, part of the reason that these guys were able to do it is because they're smart too. And they're not just athletes out there playing. They're playing quarterback and they're making decisions and reads, and that's part of the whole thing. And I throw Kaepernick in there a little bit as well, because there's a lot of guys that have the physical ability to be like Michael Vick. But there aren't a lot of guys that have the mental ability to do it consistently the way it looks like some of these young guys have the chance to do now. And it's only one season for all four of those guys, Luck, Kaepernick, RG3, and Russell Wilson. But
and part of that mental ability,
that's a great
at least
start.
In my view, is the work ethic mental ability.
Yeah.
The willingness to dedicate. You know, there's a lot of guys like Vic or Vince Young, who, because they get by on their athleticism so long, don't develop that, which apparently is the backbone of, say, Russell Wilson. Like, you know, the day after they lost in the playoffs, he was there at 6 a.m. working for the next year kind of thing. That is rare to get the athletic and that. You know, we've talked about that in the past. That's when you really get the truly elite, when you blend those two. Just a news item. You know, we've talked about the pass rushers. You know, OCU Mignore being introduced as a Falcon.
Yeah, $8.5 million contract, 2 years. It's interesting. I mean, do they think that – I mean, do the Falcons think that he's that much better than Abraham? I mean, why didn't they just re-sign Abraham?
Well, part of the thing on Abraham is, you know, they're a big analytics team. That was one of the stories of Combine. And they have all these analytics, apparently, that say, you know, all his sacks came, I believe, out of division and in week for this, and they kind of downplayed his sack numbers. Huh. And he is young. Umanure is obviously younger.
Yeah. They also, I think, yeah, that's part of it. Yeah. I think they had concerns about Abraham's health. He got a pretty significant knee injury in the playoffs last year and was compromised in the NFC Championship game, I believe. He might have suffered the injury in the playoff game against Seattle.
But now we're down to two.
Well, that's right. There were three of those guys out there, so now it's just Freeney and Abraham.
Unless you include Harrison. I mean, I think we're all assuming he's not a Patriot, but.
Yeah.
And Freeney, what did he say?
$6 million?
$6 or $7 million he's looking for.
So now we're down to Abraham.
So if that's accurate, he's going to hold to that and say, I'm not going to play for less than that, then you can cross him off the list.
And interesting, Carson Palmer says that he's looking to go to a contender where you're not going to play. Because if they're a contender, yeah, they probably have
a quarterback,
right?
And even if they don't, they won't be a contender with you because you blow.
You know, so I thought that was kind of a weird thing for him to come out and say. And then my guy, Honey Badger, I guess, had a really good pro day.
I read that, but the most interesting pro day I saw, you see the reports that Latimer, after he finished his, people actually cheered.
Yeah, I thought that was great.
Yeah.
He's got it. I don't know if he can play, but everybody likes him. He's got that it thing going on.
Yeah.
Evidently, there were 31 teams there, and they
One that wasn't was
including our New England Patriots.
I think we were there.
But you know what's funny about that is I had heard that on the radio, Freddie, and they said 31 teams were there, and I thought for sure the punchline was going to be the Patriots weren't, or the Patriots representative was the only one who didn't clap.
Right.
That's what I was waiting for. But it had nothing to do with that. They just said there were 31 teams there, and the scouts or the GMs or whoever the representative was, they all gave him a round of applause when he was done.
I wouldn't touch him.
Along with, former teammates and people around the program.
And then a couple
I'm rooting for him, though. I kind of agree with Andy, and it's not necessarily a chance that I'm willing to take, but I'm rooting for him.
And then a couple of Darren Revelle-type notes. The Dolphins revealed their new logo yesterday. I guess they didn't want to. Yeah, it leaked out. They're blaming Nike, but...
It's not as bad as I thought it was going to be.
Yeah?
Have you seen it?
What did you think
it was going to be? Well, it does sort of look like the logo for the stadium. The Dolphin Stadium logo, where it's sort of like a streamlined dolphin with like a stripe going through it or something.
Yeah.
But I thought they were going to get rid of. There was rumor that they were going to get rid of the sunburst little orange hoop thing that he jumps through.
Yeah.
And that it was going to be a completely different looking thing. And it's not really. It's not as bad. They still have the orange hoop sunburst, whatever the thing is.
Yeah.
The dolphin is still kind of going through it, but its shape is a little bit different. It's not just, I don't know. It's not terrible.
Yeah.
I didn't think it was terrible.
Okay.
I didn't see any need to change it, but
It's
not as bad as I thought it was going
to
be.
The need to change it is to sell more jerseys.
The way you sell more jerseys is you win games.
And then
fins up.
Yeah.
And then the Cleveland Browns announced that they have a new radio deal with not one, but three stations.
Yeah, how's that work?
All having game day rights.
How's that work?
I don't know. I read the article, and I don't understand.
It's a complicated proposal?
I didn't understand it, but I haven't read the article.
Yeah,
it's even worse.
Well,
I read the article.
I read the article off the Akron Beacon, maybe. I forget the name of the station, but the newspaper. But, I still don't understand. They talked about, some of them having weak signals at certain times of the day so that now there won't be any holes in coverage. And so are they all going to broadcast the game at this?
And will there be three different play-by-play announcers?
Yeah, I couldn't understand.
Like, why wouldn't they do what I just assumed everybody had networks, where there's a flagship station, but then there's other small stations around the region to fill in the signal.
Well, I heard that the Cleveland ESPN Boston was called the flagship station. So
the Cleveland ESPN Boston, huh?
Right. was called the flagship. So maybe they are, and then the others take it.
Then it's not that big a deal, because there's affiliates with like 98.5, right?
Yeah.
It's not only 98.5.
These are all Cleveland. These are all in Cleveland, I think.
Oh, there's a station in Cleveland that doesn't broadcast in Cleveland? That's like 1510 getting the...
Yeah, they have whole, like, one of them has,
burps.
During the day it's 50,000 watts, and at night it knocks down to like 5,000
watts. Oh, so it is like 1510.
Right, so they're saying like primetime games would have problems, you know.
Luckily they don't
have
it.
That would be
any.
Like if 1510 was the Celtics station, was the Celtics flagship.
Just the flagship, like, and then they had a network or whatever. This is weird.
Why didn't
the other stations just do it themselves? Are there no stations that reach all of Cleveland?
Yeah, I don't know. If someone can explain it to me, sounds like
a good deal for the Browns.
Yeah, I mean, they're touting it as historic.
They're getting money from three sources instead of one.
Yeah.
Right?
But if it's a third from each, then it doesn't really matter.
Well, yeah. My guess is that it's more than a third of each than you would normally get.
Right.
The overall package might not be worth what the Patriots are worth, you know. But
I know a good friend, Vic Carucci, works there for the team, so maybe if he's listening, he could.
But he also works on.
If he's listening.
But doesn't
he'll never hear this.
I think his show is on one of those ESPNs too.
Well, he has a show on Sirius on the weekend.
I know, but I'm pretty sure he does a show like this on Browns.com or whatever, and I'm pretty sure. It's also like simulcast or on the ESPN Cleveland Boston.
Oh.
I think it's ESPN Boston Cleveland.
Oh.
So I don't understand the nature of that deal, but that was out there yesterday.
Yeah, they were excited about it. I saw groundbreaking and historic, you know, these descriptions of it. I just didn't know.
Maybe
why.
One station does the pregame, one station broadcasts the game, and one station does the postgame.
Yeah.
Yeah, because that's a good idea.
Right.
People switch around the radio three times.
That's great.
So, but maybe someone knows a little bit about that, and they could fill us in.
I don't really care.
Are you going to fill us in? Are we eating today?
I'm getting a little weak.
Okay. I'll get on it. Grande today?
Sure.
All right. What do you want?
This is truly in progress.
Yes.
I don't know.
I'll have a veal sub.
You'll take a bite out of and throw away.
Yeah.
And a little cow just gave his life for that.
A lot of emails about Soap of the Slot.
A lot?
Yeah.
Or one?
No. Actually, three.
Well, that's more than one.
And for that stupid topic, that's a lot.
One person said there's a thing called Stack Soap.
Yeah, I saw that. There's a video.
Which is more of a tray, you said?
It's a soap if you like kind of scooped out one side of it a little bit, so there's like little walls so that you could put the piece in and it would kind of morph together. It's a step up from my just squeezing them together.
And then a person in New Brunswick says that his mother used to just, you know, take the soap and jam it into the top of the new bar of soap.
Well, that's what I do. I squeeze them together and they melt.
Right, but it's
once you rub it around you a little bit, it melts, it welds it.
It's not as efficient.
As your thing, which doesn't actually exist,
and then
that you've never even tried.
And then Jared,
bathing in the river?
And then Jared Paul, who's from the Northeastern class of 97, writes in. He says, I'm not one to write into an internet radio show.
Oh, sorry. It's beneath you.
And brag how well I can mash together two bars of soap. But, Fred, consider how much more productive we all would be if we had Soap with a Slot. Those 5 extra seconds every week and a half, think of all the veteran cast-offs our fickle Patriot Nation could slide into our starting lineup, project into the Pro Bowl, and later rip apart when they end up signing with the Broncos. Thank you for your service. And he also wants to know, Eric, when the schedule comes out.
April 16th.
Maybe. Yeah.
Ish. So, we're still definitively ishing.
Yeah, you know how that all started, right? NFL Network on their television schedule.
No, I know.
And that's what people are all like locked it in.
No, but
don't
I also assume
just go with it.
They planned their TV schedule.
Yeah. No, I assume that it will be April 16th, but I'm just saying
right.
That's a very flawed way of doing it.
But there's also, you know, I don't think that the schedule is set yet. I really don't.
Probably not.
And I
but
think that
anticipating it will be.
And I think that they don't want to come right out and say April 16th is when you're going to be able to watch it on TV, because there could be some snags. Mm-hmm.
Well, and that's why isn't it set yet?
Yeah, that I don't get. And we would, you know,
like, do we know what the Raven, who's playing on that Thursday night yet?
No, but my point is, at some point you need to set it, and then I think send it out to the teams to make sure everything's copacetic, and have time for them to say, whoa, I can't do this. Or...
No, but the teams are involved in all this setting. So this is a process that's ongoing right now.
Yeah, but it should have been done by now.
I think you should have at least a rough draft to send to a team that this is what we're thinking. Anybody have any major problems with this?
Oh, I think they did that a while ago, and now they're going back and saying,
oh, okay. That's what I'm saying. That stuff should have been done long ago.
Oh, that was done.
So then to me, it's basically set. There's, a couple minor.
I don't know if it's just minor.
And just
well,
to
what
let
do them, you know? Tell us.
Do you know something or not?
No, I'm just saying.
Puff your chest out on the radio.
We had a big meeting yesterday here in Foxborough, a big meeting, amongst in-house meetings here.
The content summit.
The NFL has specifically told us, and by us I mean members of the organization, not necessarily PFW in progress, that's just a placeholder,
right?
April 16th. It's not the day that the schedule is coming out per se.
It may
end up being that day, but that was just a placeholder for NFL.com and NFL Network. I don't understand, with our meeting, and a lot of people agreed, the other sport, hockey had a lockout, solved it, and within 48 hours had a 48-game schedule when all their buildings are used by another professional team, and they somehow were able to turn that around in 48 hours.
Plus circuses and concerts.
Well, that's not even getting into that stuff.
Well, you can complain as you may. The fact is that...
I'm not complaining. I'm just saying it's a little
silly. The fact is that they're still hashing it out, and, there's a lot of factors like, look, I don't want 3 road games in a row. I don't think it's fair that we're, playing this game against this team in the
right. You don't think there's a lot of those in all the other three sports?
No, I'm sure, but I'm just saying that's what's happening.
No, but I think that should have
been
taken into account.
But it's been happening for 4 months,
right?
So
the season ended a while ago. Everything was set in stone a while ago.
I wonder when they actually start the process.
It's like I'm doing the schedule.
When they do it.
Need it by April 16th.
Yeah.
So if I start
time.
By the 31st, I'm good.
Yeah.
It's like college-itis.
You know what? I'm gonna watch running backs today instead. I'll get to the schedule
I work
later.
Better under pressure.
See, I would think like
once... Shouldn't that guy have started once the regular season ended?
Well, not even then. In December, we know... You know all the opponents, basically.
Well, once the other teams don't lock in
until
late. But the season ends, definitively.
You know definitively who you're playing. Like, once the regular season is over, you have that.
So that means that guy should have started.
During the bye week of the playoffs.
There should be deadlines. I'm sure there are. But there should be deadlines. Listen, you need to file with me right now the dates that your stadium's not available.
Right.
And every team does that by January 15th. Or whatever it is. It just seems to me that the process takes a little too long. Now, it doesn't matter. April's plenty of time to plan.
Well, all the networks have to get in their requests for which games, for the primetime games and all that stuff. And they have to go through the process of locking in certain games that,
Right. Again, shouldn't be a 4-month process. Yeah. That's all I'm saying.
I don't care for it. But I think the bigger news, earth-shattering, groundbreaking type news, was the information that the NFL has sent the NFLPA a proposal to redo the entire NFL calendar offseason. Move the combine to March, move free agency to April, move the draft to May.
That was a while ago, wasn't it?
Oh, I saw it yesterday.
That's been out there for a while.
Oh, it was reported as news yesterday that they sent the proposal to the NFLPA.
Now, what's the proposal? Go over that again.
The combine would now be March.
Mm-hmm.
Free agency would be April.
Draft would be May. We had talked about that, I thought.
Well, there's been rumors of it for years, but this is an actual physical proposal of this could happen.
Yeah, now I've only been to
and
the
what's
last...
their reasoning?
To have that one, I think Goodell even said it, to have that one big impact every month, one big,
Yeah, I've a home run hitting thing on the calendar.
They kind of have that now because you think about the Super Bowl ends in early February.
Yeah.
The combine starts at the end of February. Then free agency starts up.
Yep.
And by the time, then you move into the draft in April. So
May, June becomes bland. Locally, there's some because of camps, but on a national scale.
Okay, so they're trying to fill the
calendar.
May-June void.
I've only been to the two combines the last 2 years, but... That was a big part of it. No, don't worry about it. No one heard that. A lot of the GM coach types, that GMs more so, I remember it last year, and I remember it a little bit more this year. They talk about the draft and the combine aren't necessarily timed as well as they could be. With the start of free agency, a lot of people think that, if they have the draft earlier, that allows you to get to free agency and fill in gaps that you weren't able to address in your draft.
Right.
If you flip-flop the draft and the free agency, And obviously you'd have to move the draft up to do that because you can't put off free agency that long.
Right.
You can't say free agency doesn't start till June. That doesn't make any sense. But you could have the draft, you know, a lot closer to the combine. I don't know if that works. It's interesting, though. I mean, I'm kind of with you, Fred. I mean, what's the difference between March and...
Yeah.
Apparently, you know, the players are against it.
You know, the draft is April 28th. Is that not close enough to May to be considered something at that time of year? You know?
Players are against it. Why?
Free agency, they don't want to be
they
in limbo.
They don't want to wait that long.
They already don't
and that,
like it
I don't
now.
Blame them.
That I agree
with
the
It's already been
players
pushed
on.
Back, you know, 2+ weeks or whatever since it used to be.
I agree
Remember,
with
it was
the
March 1st, basically, was mm-hmm. the start of free agency. Now it's, whatever it was, the 16th or something?
12th. Or, yeah, 16, yeah.
If, right. So, if you were a team
this
GM,
year was the 12th,
what
right?
would you want?
March 12th.
If I were
a team GM, what would you want? Would you want to get free agency done as soon as possible
yes.
than focus on draft? Or?
Yes.
No, I'd rather have what Paul said. I'd rather do the draft and then fill in afterwards, know what I needed.
Yeah, because I think you can, if you knew that you had X, Y, and Z filled through the draft affordably, now I can go out and say, that's one guy, maybe I will extend a little bit for that guy because I don't need to fill four holes with four good players. I just need to fill one hole, and I'm not afraid to spend a lot of money
especially
to fill that hole.
Especially if you can get rookie camp. If you could have the draft and then get a weekend or a week with a guy and say, feeling pretty good about that slot receiver
I just drafted. It gives you more options, I think, as a team right. if you have the draft first. Now, I don't know if that's feasible.
It also puts it the other way.
Right. Conversely, could Tougher. You say, hey, I don't have that need anymore, and now the market dries up for you know, certain players.
Oh, yeah. But I'm saying if I'm the team, that's what I want.
Right, right.
No, but
and that's me, why the players
You asked
may
me
not
as a
want.
GM.
That's
no,
why
well,
the players
but
may
I think
not
you
want.
Could also say – Now the teams know exactly what they have to get, and they might extend themselves.
Correct.
So I got to get a right tackle. I couldn't get a guy I wanted in the draft. I got a quarterback that's going to play. I need somebody to block for him. I'm going to give Sebastian Vollmer an extra $5 million. So I think you could read it both ways.
It's,
and
it's interesting.
Would probably average out
yeah.
over the
but,
long run.
Yeah, but if you asked me if I was a GM, I think I could see their point when they talk about it. And you've heard this too, I'm sure.
Because drafting is in some ways safer.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
If you can still miss, but you don't miss for $40 million.
Now, it certainly changes the dynamic of the draft process because that you do have that ramp up to the combine, and that's really when it really kicks in for the entire organization. Obviously, the scouts are doing this year-round.
Right.
But, you know, if you had the draft immediately on the heels of the combine, you know, there's a lot less time for this stuff that's going on right now.
Pro days.
The pro days, the individual meetings, the visits. You know,
and your drafting would change
you know,
a lot because,
visits.
Like, let's say, you know, like a guy like Matt Barkley, he ends his college season with a surgery, and if the draft is right after the combine, he's probably not ready to work out, and maybe his draft stock goes from surefire top 10 to third round, fourth round, who knows? You know what I mean?
That could happen.
Could affect guys.
I mean, I think that would be teams being. I totally think it would happen, but I think that'd be really dumb.
I do, too.
If you have a guy who has a minor injury and will be able to work out in April, but he couldn't work out in March.
I do, too.
So that's going to affect my draft stock.
That's how draft.
I said to you that I think that you're right. I think Barkley, that specific in his senior year is what's causing him to drop.
Little quick piece of Patriots news, according to our friend Shalise Manzi-Young from the Globe, Patriots have shunned a receiver named White.
Sean
White has been
released. Okay.
From the reserve military.
Breaking
list.
News.
Yeah. So they're even thinner now at wide receiver.
Wow. Okay.
It made me laugh. I don't know why it made me laugh so much.
Patriots making
moves. As long as they don't get rid of Andre Holmes, we're okay.
Dre. Come on.
Patriots making moves. Bill Belichick's been around, I guess.
He's been around the block once or twice
now. He was seen with a Paul Rabel T-shirt recently.
A who?
Paul Rabel.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Mike Vrabel.
He was at UConn in a Trinity lacrosse sweatshirt for the pro day.
Yeah.
He was down at wherever Ray Perkins is, some JCC.
Junior college. I found that a little interesting.
I found it interesting that he said Adalys Thomas was one of our best defensive players. When?
Belichick said that?
Yeah.
Really?
Well, he was talking about people that we've had some guys contribute from this area, and it was down in that Hattiesburg, and he joked he missed on Favre, but we have somebody now, and Adalys Thomas, he was one of our best players defensively for a couple of years. And really? I didn't see it.
Well, maybe for a little bit.
I feel like pulling a nose sock. Best?
somewhere right. Adelis Thomas goes, hey, you didn't tell me that at the time.
All right, webradio at patriots.com, 508-298-0398 is the ace ticket hotline.
Speaking of the Miami Heat losing.
Didn't give it a second thought.
Not really.
Had to happen eventually, right?
I kind of wanted them to break the record.
So did I.
Why?
Just to see it happen.
What do you think of the Bruins losing?
I didn't lose any sleep over it. You know, I hate Miami, but I just thought it was
I didn't see
cool.
that coming when I fell asleep after the second period.
Yeah, the Bruins got screwed in the game and in
what, because
the
of
trade.
That penalty with the puck went out of the
yeah, ice? that was a garbage call. The Canadians had too many men on the ice on one of their other goals. And the third goal deflected off of Seidenberg's face. Tough third period for the Bruins.
Yeah.
And then the game ends and you lose to Ginla. Not a good night.
Yeah. So
I went to bed happy, though, because it was a great second period for the Bruins, and that's when I fell asleep.
All right. You had a happy ending. Web radio.
As did you.
Why?
You had an interesting dream, did you not?
Oh, well, yeah. You do need to share a dream.
I did have another one of my Patriots dreams. It involved Bill Belichick. And
scandalous.
I was in a high end gift store like that had women in men's clothing, and I think I was shopping.
You were on the women's side.
I was shopping for men's shoes, but I was getting close to the door, and in walks Bill Belichick, and he's looking at the shelf with all the women's pocketbooks, so, and he sees me there, and I knew this is all me thinking in my dream. I knew that he wanted me to talk to him. So I went to him and I said, so
proves it was a dream.
Right. So I said, are you looking for the perfect gift? And he goes, yeah, I got to get something. And I don't know if it was for Mother's Day or Valentine, whatever. I got to get something. So then now it's awkward because I don't know what to say now. So I said, so how are things going? How's the team going to look?
It wasn't awkward before.
You know, how's the team going to look? And I'm thinking of my dream. Don't ask him about football because,
right.
You know, why would he want to talk about that? But I did anyway. How's the team going to look? And he starts talking to me. And he's saying something, but I don't understand a word he's saying. Like, it's all like, ooh, ooh, and like I'm hearing it, but I'm not understanding it. So I'm just kind of like nodding.
I know how we feel.
Yeah, I'm just nodding my head and kind of going, yeah, yeah, yeah. And so then I felt like I had to say something. I go, I know, but I think what people are missing is the second-year jump from, you know, from these guys like Hightower and Jones and Dennard. I mean, Denard. I mean, you know, and I actually correct.
In his dream, he misspoke.
Yeah, I actually correct myself in the dream because I said Dennard's name wrong.
Did he respond?
What?
To your people are missing the second
year. No, he actually said, oh, yeah, you're right.
Yeah, that's what I just said.
Yeah.
You dumb ass.
I just said that. Were you listening?
Right, but it was just one of those weird dreams.
And that's how it ended? It just
fade
to black?
I kind of woke up maybe or something. Yeah.
Cleaned your shorts.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Dreaming about work again.
Yeah.
You missed that, huh?
So the second year jump.
I heard you.
Just weird.
Yeah.
I think it's because, hay fever season starting up, so I started taking my Flonase. Do you take Flonase, anyone?
No, aren't you supposed to be taking honey? Didn't they tell you to take honey?
Yeah, I'll do that eventually.
Local, regular honey.
But I think Flonase makes you have weird dreams when you first start it up.
Is that for all allergies? I thought that was for like your pitted feet thing.
Yeah, that was
new.
The first time the person recommended it was like a year and a half ago was for allergies.
Yeah.
Was it one of those vivid
allergies.
Dreams where you thought it was real at the time?
Well, yeah, all the dreams I have I think are real.
Don't you?
Not every dream. Some dreams you know you're...
Really?
Yeah.
Like when you're actually in the dream, you know it's a dream?
Sometimes, yeah.
I think Eric's right. Sometimes that kind of happens.
I don't know
it's sort of foggier.
Do you?
You know, like the, but
yeah,
there are sometimes
look.
when the visions are so real and you can almost like feel, you know, touching things or whatever.
I've definitely had those dreams.
Oh, yeah.
But and then you wake up and you're not sure whether or not that it really happened. But there's sometimes you wake up and you're like, you knew right away.
I hate that.
Right.
But mine are usually weird enough so that when I wake up, I know. Yeah.
I hate when I have a good dream and then I wake up and I realize that it was a dream. That bums
like
me out.
Paul's hosting his own radio show in 98.5 and then he wakes up and he's back here.
That's a great example. That's a great example.
All right. So I guess we should get to emails, right? Because no one's calling.
Ricky Rubio.
Not even Seabass.
No. We are waiting for Sebastian Vollmer.
Maybe.
Probably going to call.
We're not promising.
No?
No, we're not promising. We're saying maybe.
Why wouldn't he call in? He's here.
He could just walk down the hall. He doesn't need to call in.
Oh, jeez.
Scott from the Jersey Shore writes in, hey, guys, longtime listener, ninth time emailer.
I like this new trend of keeping. It's sort of like UFC. They do their pay-per-views like UFC 147.
He says, if John Abraham signs with the Patriots, are you going to apologize to that female reporter for the terrible, terribly funny things you have said recently?
No.
I mean, what do we have to apologize for?
You said she's banging John Abraham.
Yeah, I think Fred should apologize whether she's right, wrong, or indifferent.
We're wondering how she's getting this information.
However,
why no one else
in
is.
Terms of the report was wrong.
Right.
Because if you say that someone already signed and 3 weeks later they signed, you were wrong.
Especially when they visited other teams in between the supposed signing. You can't do that. Once you sign with a team, you can't visit another
one. Because I actually still think Abraham is going to end up a Patriot.
I hope so.
The report that came out was incorrect. I mean, there's no other way around it. It's just like the Bruins that we were just talking about, Jerome McGinley. All the local, in more than just locals, the entire NHL.
Between periods, the guy said.
They reported that the Bruins had done this. No, and I understand that that's what they were being told. It was wrong. I mean,
they got the wrong black and gold jersey.
It's a tough break. What, you know. I mean, you don't have to kill the people. They were only going on the information that they had, but it was wrong. He got traded to Pittsburgh.
It's like the imminent signing of Wes Welker. Reported by our friend Mike Giardi.
Easy.
What?
A lot of people were on that boat.
Oh, really?
Mostly Giardi, though. Closing in on a multi-year deal or whatever, a long-term deal.
I don't know. I thought he was going to sign. I don't know.
Cole from Waterloo, it's my golden birthday today, so I hope that you read my email. Done. Just wanted to say that you guys are my favorite internet radio podcast, and you're the best source around for Patriots news. My question.
You know, that's not a shot anymore. You know how people used to say you're my favorite internet podcast radio show? That's not a shot anymore. There's a lot of us out there now.
There's a ton of them.
That is true.
My question, out of the current free agent signings, who do you think will be the biggest contributor and the biggest flop? Also, Eric, when will the 2013 schedule be released?
Now he's not playing anymore.
Already answered the question.
36 minutes.
You gotta go back. If you like the show that much, you can go back and listen where the answer was given earlier.
Biggest contributor, I'm going to go. Does Tlaib count?
Do we sign anybody?
Yeah.
So Tlaib.
Yeah.
I'm going to go Tlaib. And flop, I'm going to go Wilson.
I have to go Wilson with the flop.
Okay.
I made the mistake of watching games. had I not watched games, I might answer that question differently. But I'm concerned about him. Yeah. Very much concerned.
I'll go Amendola.
Could be a flop.
With the biggest contribution, just to be different than Andy.
He could be the same answer.
He could be the biggest contributor or the biggest flop.
I'm getting my own little groundswell for Danny Amendola.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to be.
Keep your groundswell in your pants.
I think he's gonna make everyone pretty happy this season.
That could be.
Yeah. See, I think. But unless he gets
hurt.
You
thought that about a lot of people. Trevor Scott, Robert Gallery.
Unless he gets
hurt. I've
been
wrong, and I've been right.
When were you right?
When they signed Wes Welker the first time, perhaps?
Perhaps.
Were you ever wrong by saying that someone was going to be bad, and they turned out to be good? Like, for instance, Wes Welker.
No,
I thought that was a bad mouth shut.
Because you've never said anyone was going to be bad.
That's my point.
Yeah, I might agree completely with Andy about Adrian Wilson, but I'm just not going to comment.
I'm just not going to
say anything. I don't know, and I'm hoping he's going to be good, so why say I think he's going
to
be bad?
I think Amendola will be
the objective analysis.
Yeah, I don't know.
To offer your honest thoughts. So you're saying you only tell half-truths on the show?
No.
You're not a man of your word.
Everything I say is 100% truthful.
Right, but there's a lot of thoughts in your mind that you don't share.
I think that's true with everyone, isn't it?
Not me.
You say everything that's on your mind.
Pretty much.
First time you met me?
You're looking at the wrong person for that.
Yeah.
But I think in general, I think the three of us, you know, we'll leave you out of this. The three of us generally tell you what we think about the Patriots. Sometimes it's good. Sometimes it's not so good.
I do that too, but
you know, only after a loss.
A guy with like Adrian Wilson, I really don't know.
I really don't know either.
The first 24 hours after a loss is the only unplugged version of Fred Kirsch you get.
Right, and then he apologizes.
Then you apologize, and you're right back on track. Yeah. And that's why we love you. That's why you steer the ship. That's what your job is.
Oh, and I didn't
if it was all. You know,
your worst one ever was John Lynch. I forgot about that. You were going to buy a jersey.
Well, I was excited that he was here.
And you thought he was going to be good.
And you wanted to see Lynch on the back of a Patriots jersey.
I'm being dead serious. I think there may be some similarities between Adrian Wilson and John Lynch.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about speed.
Not sure he's quite as done.
I don't think he's quite as done. But when you go from not playing.
If he falls down the first time I see him play, we'll have problems.
You know, John Lynch was playing every down when he came here. He was still playing every down with Denver.
But for his second team.
other than saying that, you know, Trevor Scott was a safety, I wasn't completely wrong about him. I mean, he wasn't that good, but he, you know, he contributed.
Did nothing.
He wasn't terrible.
He did nothing.
He really didn't do that much.
But he didn't do anything in terms of like a bad, you know, Sergio Brown-like.
Right.
But he didn't do anything.
Yeah, I mean, he was...
He didn't hurt the team.
He was irrelevant.
He didn't help it either.
Yeah. He was irrelevant. Nice man,
yeah.
But irrelevant.
I think any number of guys could have done what he did.
Right.
Put it that way.
Like Jake Beckett may have done what he did had Jake Beckett gotten on the field.
Right. He certainly didn't pan out as I hoped.
As one of the top five playmakers on the team.
But, you know, considering I thought he was going to be a safety, he did okay for
but
a safety.
But don't you feel like...
playing defensive end.
Don't you feel
he
like...
He was miscast. I mean, he was in the wrong position.
With Amendola, you said you think you're going to be very happy. Don't you think that he pretty much would have to get hurt and not play in games to have fans not be happy?
Well, I think that... Let's say he didn't get
hurt,
but he wasn't as much, like, you know... He did what he was asked to do, but what he was asked to do was 30 balls, you know, 30 catches over the, I think people would be really disappointed.
Over what?
Over the season.
Yeah, you know? People will be disappointed if he only has 30
like he
catches.
Wasn't,
see, the only way he's going to have 30 catches is if he gets hurt.
Right.
Yeah.
Because that's not, they're not going to just change their whole entire offense.
Well,
especially, you know, based on what they have as options
I'm
right
just
now.
Trying to throw up every scenario.
And
there,
they actually invested in him, too.
But what
could,
I, but
he
I don't,
could actually play, do what they ask, but people would still be disappointed.
Well, but that won't be what they ask.
Yeah, I just don't.
I don't.
There's
think
no
they
way
would,
they ask him to catch 30 balls.
I don't think so either.
Yeah, I think your hypothetical is really far fetched. I don't see them asking him to only catch 30 balls.
If
and
so, it was a terrible signing.
$31.5 million.
A million a ball.
Yeah.
I just feel like if he stays healthy, he's going to catch passes, and really, he could be very productive or not productive at all. And I think people will be happy because all they want to see is. I think people have really turned the page at this point. There's a lot more negativity around Welker and the excitement around the younger, faster guy. How many times have you heard he's younger and faster over the last 2 weeks when it comes to Amendola?
Here's the thing, Paul.
If he stays healthy, he's gonna catch passes because that's the way that offense works.
I think the anger about Welker is still out there. I think that we heard that first. Then we heard the people who have the glass half full take, and now you're going to hear it kind of both sides wane. Then it'll come back in training camp again, and I think you'll hear both sides again. I think that anger about losing Welker is still out there. I really do.
Yeah,
I really
and
do.
It's not going to wane.
I just don't think there's much of it, and I think that if he comes in and catches 75 balls, even, I think people say, "See, I told you, anybody could do that." That's how they
there'll
feel.
There'll be other factors involved.
You certainly will, right, Paul?
Probably.
He could catch 32, and Paul will have some excuse for why he's right.
Ray from
I just my big fear was
he'll miss
Amendola
two-thirds
is,
of the season. And say, look,
injury.
He was on pace for 90 catches.
If he catches 75 balls and he's the leading receiver and the offense isn't very good.
Oh, then that's different.
Yeah.
I'm not going to sit here and tell you that anybody could
do it. But if he catches 75 balls and that's because Hernandez catches 95 or 100
then
and they're winning.
That's when I'll turn my argument.
Right.
And
there are some
you'll be able to call me a fraud for that.
Aspects to it.
But I feel like, you know, as long as the biggest thing that Welker to me impressed me about was his durability and his ability to be there every game. If Amendola can't do that, then I think he's going to open himself up to some criticism, and certainly I think you'll hear the Welker people be very loud then.
Oh, yeah.
But if Amendola is on the field and he's playing and contributing, even if he's not contributing as much as Welker, I think you'll hear very little of that.
Are we going to see, like, Welker watch? Will
if
there be, like,
winning.
Boxes in the Herald?
Well, they're going to win. I mean, how can they not win?
I'm just
by
saying.
Losing.
If Brady gets hurt, yeah, okay. But, I mean, let's face it, they're guaranteed 12 wins.
Wow.
Joining us now on the line.
Sebastian Vollmer.
That's what I was thinking.
Ray from
they show up and win 12 games. It's easy.
Ray from Stratford, Connecticut.
So
thanks
easy.
For all
why
the great...
don't you try to protect it?
Thanks for all the great offseason
shows.
Walton
up and down the court.
Always informative, as we learned, if you don't force Lloyd a lot of balls, he won't get his hands on them. glad he's gone. Time to draft a solid receiver for Tom to work with. My question is,
will he work with him?
Do we still have Waters under contract? If he is under contract, can we work a trade to get something for him as he will never wear a Patriots jersey again?
Yes, I believe you could trade his rights.
Yeah, and he still is under contract.
Yes, he is definitely under contract, and I'm pretty sure you can trade his rights.
But he doesn't want to go anywhere except Houston, right?
Right. So trade him to Houston.
Supposedly, yeah.
Yeah.
Is there any more word about him?
No.
Haven't heard anything about him.
Last I saw from him, he was picking somebody on a panel. He was like a panelist to pick like a high school award or something.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Random. It was an email about...
He was like the NFLPA voter.
There's one question I have, though, that I have to look in the CBA about that. But you know how...
You'll never find the answer, so...
Well, it's going to be tough. But you... a guy like him who didn't report, and he was in the last year of his contract. The contract is what's called tolls.
Right.
It tolled. It gets carried over to the next season. How often does that
Forever. In
happen?
Perpetuity.
In perpetuity?
Yep.
Really?
It's you like, owe a year.
Yeah. It's like the Barry Sanders situation. You know, he Detroit owned his rights, and no matter how long he stayed retired.
Do you remember when the Patriots were rumored to be acquiring him? It was like 2 or 3 years after. It might have been at least 2 years after he retired. There was all kinds of speculation. Right. Remember, they needed a running back.
Oh, I got
Barry Sanders was going to come out of retirement and play for the Patriots.
I got scoffed at by Pioli because back in that day, we used to eat with those guys on the road. We'd be in the same room. So I went up to him. I said, "So Scott, what's the chances of getting Barry Sanders? Do you think we have any chance?" And he just laughed at me,
puffed his chest out, and walked away.
He said something about you guys, you fans, or something like that. You know, just really.
So he didn't. He didn't confirm or deny.
Yeah,
he didn't confirm or deny the report.
What does Fred and Scott Pioli have in common?
We're both on this side of the mic.
Yeah. They neither, both get autographs from players.
Neither of them are general managers in the NFL.
John, who wrote in.
They both like to puff their chests out.
John in New Brunswick, who wrote about the soap with a slot. Also, his main topic was Jeff Demps. He says, "I have to agree with the heart on one thing and disagree with the heart on another."
The hard on.
Did you like that high school humor hard on?
He wants you to say
should be right up Andy's alley.
Would you read it?
First, the disagree. First, the disagree. Go down to the Charles and watch the rowers. Those crews are only as fast as their weakest rower. Jeff Demps is an Olympic silver medalist. You make it sound like he was running across a track one day and got recruited to the Olympics. While he's no Usain Bolt, to win a silver medal in an Olympic event is an incredible accomplishment.
Does this guy know he didn't actually run in the Olympic medal heat?
He may not be the fastest in the world, but he is very, very close to the top, as evidenced by his gold medal.
He's like sixth on the American team or seventh on the American team.
He ran in the prelim, qualifying round.
It was a filler. Yeah. It was a seat filler, like at the ESPYs.
But you're making it sound like anybody could be a seat filler.
No, just like at the ESPYs, they have like attractive women in nice dresses, but they're not Angelina Jolie.
No, but if he wasn't silver medal caliber, he would have brought down the team.
No, they won the medal.
Right.
He was good enough to beat the Jags.
They had to get to the
He was good enough to beat the preliminaries, the Jags.
But you make it sound like anybody could do it.
No, not anybody, but
he's
a Jag.
He's the sixth or seventh fastest.
Guy.
That's
well,
very
what was
very
his
impressive.
Time versus the guy that replaced him
know.
In the final
Not
heat.
Good enough to be on the final heat? If he was the best,
he
would have been on
enough.
The best.
I mean, that part is, and he's right about. He wasn't
and he beat
good enough
Jag
to be
teams.
In the finals.
He beat, like, Ethiopia or some, like, random non-competitive team.
But I just think that Andy – I think Andy – this is how – Can I speculate here for a second?
I don't know.
I think Andy got duped.
I did.
Okay.
There's truth in this aspect.
I think when Andy found out that he was an Olympic sprinter, he didn't realize that he only ran in the heats and didn't run in the final. And I think you got mad about it.
He's
not even really an Olympian.
There is some truth to that. But I also
think that's what this all comes
he
out
was
to.
Fast enough to run against the crap teams, but when they really wanted to win, they put their actual fast runners in.
Well, how do you know that they just didn't have like a draw because
they
were all about even?
Because that's not, and,
that's not how it works.
Fred, do you really think that Jeff Demps was better than the guy that ran in his place in the final?
Oh, I don't. Maybe they're about even.
But the guy had this longest straw.
I mean,
so
look at their
run?
Times. I mean, tell me their times, and then we'll have some evidence.
No, you don't know that.
But well, you can find out what Jeff Demps ran in.
No,
the
no, no. But you
but
don't.
Do you think
Usain
that he's faster
Bolt.
Than the guy that ran for him?
Oh, I don't know.
See, you can't.
How can you not know that?
So you think the coach of the U.S. track and field team is a moron and doesn't put his fastest runners
no,
it
may
when
have
the medals on the line?
What if they're about the same?
No, it may have been the difference between like a thousandth of a second. I'm not saying that he's like significantly
but if
worse,
that's
but,
all it
but
is,
don't that, but don't tell me that he's not.
Wait, but at that level,
that's the difference.
It's a big difference.
Yeah, but what you're talking about is in terms of speed, it's not a big difference.
Yes, it is.
You know,
he's a Jag sprinter.
Oh, Fred, God. Fred, we've
that's
talked-
like me saying Tim Tebow blows as a quarterback. He's far superior than a lot of people.
Exactly.
But in compared to NFL quarterbacks, he blows.
Find out. And maybe Kevin can do it. Find out what his time.
Wait, Homer's on the line.
No, but
like,
it's not.
I'm
it's not about what his time.
Is this the 400?
4x100.
All right. Find out what his time was in the 4x100, and find out what the times were for the guys that replaced him.
But it's not about his time.
It is all about time.
No, it's not, Fred. clearly the finalists were better than the guys who ran in the heat. I don't see how you can make that argument.
I think for the most part,
unless
they
you
were,
think the coach
but,
is
right,
a
let
moron.
Me ask you this: we talked about your love of tennis today. How did you determine in high school tennis who the number one tennis was?
Who can beat who in a game?
Okay,
a match.
So now do you think a good coach would take the guy who lost and make him his number one?
I don't look. I'm just telling you.
That's what you're suggesting. If the Olympic coach did
that, Jeff Demps could be, you know, even in time wise with one of the guys that ran in the final.
Can you
eight?
Just like accept Andy's hyperbole in this whole situation?
Sure.
He's not suggesting that Jeff Demps is not Olympic fast.
Oh yes, he is.
No, he's not.
No,
he's
I'm
exaggerating
not.
To make a point.
Well, he is exaggerating. That's
but
my
he's
point.
Olympic
but
fast.
But you can't say he's better than the finalists.
Rung. There's a lot of people that are Olympic fast.
I just want to know what the difference is.
How many times do we read player bios in college that say was a world-class or Olympic-caliber sprinter? There's a lot of guys that are in that little ballpark. But to get to the peak, that's a big jump, that last
year. Andy's point is, in the realm of track and field, he's a jag.
I would like to know what
I think that's probably
I would like to know what the difference of Jeff Demps and his teammates who ran in the other heat.
But what if I told you it was a thousandth of a second?
I just want to know.
But I'm saying, what
I
if I told
know.
You?
I won't know what it means, but I just want to know.
All right,
because I'm sure that he wasn't like 4 seconds behind the guy that ran for
right.
him.
He wouldn't be on the Olympic team if he wasn't fast, right?
And, I'm sure it's a blink.
And
it's
I think that's
a shutter
I think that's
speed.
The point of this emailer is he made the Olympic team.
Right,
but
of course,
wait.
The emailer is
the
absolutely right.
Eighth fastest American or whatever he is. When you mix in everybody, because it's not. Maybe I'm wrong on this. I assume people from other countries compete in professional track. Right?
I assume. I don't.
Like Usain Bolt doesn't just
maybe
stay
Pepe
in.
Maybe Pepe Le Pen can chime in again like
so
last on Tuesday.
The eighth fastest American isn't just competing with the Americans. There's a group of another 100 sprinters. So now he might be the 52nd fast, which is great for the general population. But if in terms of making a career out of sprinting, if you're the 52nd fastest.
But I have to believe he's one of the eight fastest in the world.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm
that.
Sorry, in the United States.
Oh, yeah. But I don't know where that puts him in the world. You know, this.
Well, find
Usain
out
Bolt's
before you tell me he's a jag. That's
he is a jag.
Saying.
He but is an absolute
track
jag.
Out.
But
give
in
me
terms
some
of what he
evidence.
Does,
jag. But to call him a jag.
Fred. He was a freaking seat holder on the Olympic team. I know he was a jag.
I think it's awesome that we just had this last 5 minutes. But I can't believe that you're taking him.
He wouldn't be in the top five on the Jamaican team.
I can't believe. Well, that's stupid, too. I can't believe
well,
you're taking him super
it.
Literally.
There's at least two Jamaicans that blow him out of the water. So that's like he's in the top 10 if you just include Jamaica and the U.S. So he's getting bumped down pretty quick.
The emailer is right. I don't know why you're taking this so seriously, Fred.
Now on to the agree. When we were kids, my mom would always press the small piece of... Oh,
geez.
We talked about that. So
press
that,
the small piece of
yeah,
what?
Yeah, we talked about
that. I always thought that was the other thing.
He calls my soap of the slot one of the dumbest ideas ever made.
Oh, right. He doesn't listen to you enough. it's a jag dumb idea from you. It's not even in the top eight.
I love how Andy is the holder of all good ideas.
No, I've had some terrible ones. The plane that flies in a circle the same speed as the radar pass so it can sneak up on people. Terrible idea.
Well, it's not been tried.
That's true.
That we know of.
People just mock it and laugh at it immediately without considering it.
James Pettigrew, the most interesting Patriots fan in the
world. I thought he was dead.
Hey.
Said, what's up, ladies? Sorry to have been away for so long, and I'll be back soon to buy lunch.
Oh,
and contribute to Andy's marathon
run? Is that tremendous?
I just want to see Andy stroll up to the guy who comes sixth in the Boston Marathon and call him a seat filler under his breath.
Well, if he waits for me at the finish line for about 5 hours.
Yeah, see, but that's the absurdity of what Andy's doing.
Of course it is.
There's nothing absurd about it.
No,
there's
plenty
absurd
about it.
No, but listen, I'm not doing anything any different than calling Wes Welker loose change or any other player jag. No, but any player. If you call Bam Childress a jag, that is so disrespectful to a guy who is literally in the top 1%, 0.5%, I don't know what it is. But you can be a jag when compared to the actual elite that you're trying to compete with.
I just think that this particular example.
I understand what you're saying. Among
like, you're
Andy.
A good tennis player, right? Or were at one time or something, right? You were relatively good.
Okay.
But if you went and tried to play with pro tennis players, you'd be a jag beyond below jag.
But I think your analogy of Bam Childress.
It's all relative to your competition.
Sure.
He's a jag relative to elite sprinters.
Yeah. But I think that
I don't know that.
But I don't think Jeff Demps is Bam Childress to elite sprinters. He's more like a borderline Pro Bowler.
Taylor Price. No, I don't think he's a borderline Pro Bowler. That's ridiculous.
He's better than Taylor Price.
He's a seat filler.
But that's not what I'm trying to determine.
You might,
he's a seat filler.
I'm trying to determine what is he in compared to these elite guys. And if you think the top four guys on the 4x1 is elite on the U.S. team,
yes.
I want to know how close he is to that.
Like the NCAA
champion. Not close enough.
We'll see. I don't know.
Like the NCAA champions, those guys are Bam Childress. Those are the guys that they can't make the Olympic teams. This guy made the Olympic team. He's one of the best of the best. I don't see how you cannot look at it that way.
I guess Tim Tebow's great too. He made a first round pick. Those guys don't make it by accident, those first round picks.
You know, it's like the gymnastics team. Well, you know, there's like six of them or whatever many. How many are there? I don't know.
That was a classic PFW progress sentence.
You know this stuff.
I don't know.
Fred's moved on.
What?
The ones that are on the team, there's another group of world champions that go and they're not good enough to make the Olympic
but
team.
But for every team, every country has that. So
no,
even
I'm,
if
I'm
you
only
dismiss,
talking about the United States.
I know you are, but if you're talking about becoming a professional track star, you stop talking about just the United States and talk about everybody. So you become a Jag.
But maybe he feels like this is be the first time in his life that he is dedicating himself to just one thing. And he has ability to be
even
better.
He might want to grow a little to look like a real sprinter.
I'm telling you, this all gets down to the fact that Andy Hart was duped. He thought he was more than he was.
I didn't know that a 4x100 team, an actual race that has the number 4 in it, gave out like 35 silver medals.
35? Is that how many they gave out now? 35.
At least a bunch.
He's in the Hyper Bowl over here.
Yeah. The Hyper Bowl is unbelievable.
Let's go to the phones.
I'm not a big fan of that. 0398
is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Let's start with Chris with a TIAN. Christian, how you doing?
Well, that's 10 minutes of my life. I can't get back. No,
you don't want it
it's
back,
a good
my friend.
10 minutes.
Your life's not that interesting.
This is true. That's why I'm calling.
You couldn't even get through to your favorite internet radio podcast last week.
I know. Well, Tuesday. Yeah, I know.
Tuesday.
Tough. It's having withdrawals. The flow days thing, Fred. There is some truth to that, and like when you first saw it, the whole dreams thing, because I take it, and I asked my allergist if it had that side effect. It's very rare, but when you first start it for like the first couple of weeks, there is a side effect. So
What do you dream about, Christian? Do you dream about work and stuff?
No, it's mostly...
You dream about that ex-girlfriend you used to have with the big cans.
Hell yeah! No,
as
yeah,
you should.
Definitely. No, I do. I most of my dreams are like just about friends and stuff. It's weird. I don't have anything as good as Fred, but I have some, you know, like side unit stuff. But
do you have to change your shorts when you wake up?
No, I'm an adult now. I don't have to do that anymore.
It has anything to do with being an adult.
Yeah, it does.
It certainly doesn't in your case.
You're like 14, 15 years old. You don't have those when you're 34.
Why?
You're only 34.
Then how do we explain Andy still having them?
I still have them.
Because he's still a child.
Because Andy's still 11.
That's true. See, there you go.
A very good point by Christian. A very good point.
That'd be cool if, like, you could prove based on that I am technically still.
There's no doubt.
That'd be pretty
anymore.
Cool.
I mean, I don't think we need to prove anything.
Like that, like the Tom Hanks movie Big, where he goes into the adult's body, but he's
I like it.
Yeah.
Still a child.
I'll live forever this way.
Andy, how's your bum wheel?
Shooting to run on Saturday, hopefully.
You know, I think you're one of those guys that we have to put down as prone to injury.
Yeah,
oh, I definitely think so.
Yeah.
No, fragile.
I'm not joking.
Whether it's unlucky or whatever.
The number of injuries.
I don't know why you think you're making fun of him. He's hurt all the time.
Yep.
I'm not joking in any way.
I know, and it's because of the juice.
No,
I told you that.
Shut up.
It is. It's from the bean. Yep. I just wanted to call and let you know, Andy, that I got a room with the Lennox, and your mother and I will see you at the finish line.
Oh!
Wow. Wow.
And then he hangs
up. He was so proud of himself.
He hung up on you.
Good Christian.
Right.
I'll be here all week. Yeah.
All's the week.
Right.
And the walk
I just
away.
Like that he's assuming I'm going to make it to the finish line.
And we'll follow that with Eldridge in North Carolina. Hey, Eldridge.
Sebastian.
Hey, fellas. How y'all doing?
Good.
Yeah, I'm like, Christian, last 2 minutes y'all had me rolling. But, Paul, being an extract guy is based on time. Based on time.
Yes, I understand
so he's
that.
Fast based on time.
No, I get that. But I think the guys that ran in the final were faster than him. I don't think that. I don't think he was faster than the guy that ran in the final. That's what Fred was suggesting.
No,
I just want to see his time. That's what you said.
I said
I don't care about his time. All I know is
the guys.
All I care about is that the guy that ran for the final was faster.
You're calling into question the coach, basically saying the coach put a slower guy in the final.
He was absolutely calling
into
question.
I'm saying that, you know, of those eight guys, you know, of the four that ran in the final, there could be somebody, Jeff Demps, who was, if not even very close to those guys, and it was just, hey.
In track, there's a lot of people that are close. That doesn't win you anything.
No.
Well, actually, it does. In the Olympics, it wins you a silver medal if you're close to fast.
And let's say on a given day, he could have beat one of them.
Yeah, on a great day, maybe downhill with the wind at his back.
No, you know what I'm saying.
No, but I got two questions for you. Okay. According to the free agency, right, there's still a lot of good guys in their corners, like Jenkins and – everybody keeps saying we might get Abraham.
Grimes?
Well, no, Grimes is going to Miami.
Oh, he already signed?
Yeah, he's over there now. According to
Jenkins
NFL,
hadn't signed? I thought he did. I thought Jenkins signed, too.
Plus, if you go by he's going to, then Abraham was going to the Patriots until he didn't go to the Patriots.
No, they got a sign going across the thing over here. But I was wondering, okay, they couldn't have made no play towards somebody like Jammer or Jenkins, which is better than Coles and Arrington, you know.
Yeah, the Arrington one is curious. The money they spent, clearly they were very comfortable with the guy they knew. That's all you can – yes, they could have spent the same or less money on a different player.
Was it a James Sanders-type signing,
better.
Arrington?
Oh, yeah, and I've already said that. Yeah. You know, I think they overpaid for their own guy that they're comfortable with, they know, they like, all of that. The grass isn't always greener kind of signing. They like the grass right here.
And getting back to the draft, I know we only got a couple picks. We ain't got them boatloads like we normally have. Who y'all see them picking first? Because I know Rose, they said Rose is heading towards Tampa Bay if he's last that long. What about you talking about the Honey Badger? Think we might get him?
Not in the first round.
I think go for it.
He'd be gone by the second round, I guarantee.
Yeah, I don't guarantee that.
He'd be gone by the second round.
Want to bet a lunch on it?
I bet you lunch. When you come down to North Carolina, when we play Charlotte, I'll bring it to you.
Okay.
I'm going to be there at that game.
Andy won't be here, though.
Love it, Eldridge. Love it.
Betting you a lunch that the Honey Badger will not be a first-round pick.
I don't think he will be either.
Thank you.
I don't think he'll be around second round.
Well, that means he would be a first-round pick.
Either that or he got arrested again
Wait, so let's clarify. Eldridge, you're saying he's first or second round
pick. No, Eldridge
is
saying he's going in the first round.
Is that what you're saying, Eldridge?
Thank you, Eldridge, for lunch.
Going in the first.
Okay.
Thanks for lunch. Leave your credit card with Kevin.
Hey, that's all right. Like I said, when you come to Charlotte, I'm going to be there at the game.
He's not coming to Charlotte.
I'm not coming, so you're going to have to mail
Eric
me my
and
lunch.
Eric and I will be there. We'll tweet up with you. All right, thanks, Eldridge.
You just button-hooked me.
All right. Let's get back to the emails, webradio@patriots.com. Mark, who's in Peabody.
Hey.
Do you live near Paul?
Probably.
I just almost gave out your address. I was going to say.
Please don't.
Don't do that.
Like I said, everything in his mind comes out.
Yeah.
Yes, like I said that too.
He's behind.
Right.
Unlike you, I'm honest and forthcoming, so I don't have to have listeners say, well, he didn't talk about.
With no regard for anyone else's
feelings.
So
do you like Adrian Wilson?
Because why? The truth is never mean.
Do you like Adrian Wilson? Is Adrian Wilson going to be good? Okay, so you think no, but you won't say it.
Do you like
Will Svitek? No, but you can't say it.
No, I think he's going to be.
I just want to ask you everything, so I'm on the record. When you don't speak, I know
depth.
You don't like him.
Good depth.
Right. Better than Gallery?
Deep depth.
I hope so.
But you thought Gallery was the best.
So wait a minute.
NFL.com is still – NFL Network has just had the top cornerbacks available, and those guys are still on there, Grimes and Jenkins.
And he may be going to Miami, but – until it's done, it's not done. We've learned that here. Although,
I thought the Ravens just signed a safety.
They did. Well, they signed, I forget who it was.
What's his name?
Because I chuckled to myself. Oh,
a veteran.
Yeah. I chuckled to $6 million or something.
Michael Huff?
Yes, Michael Huff.
I'm not opining on whether or not that's a good move, but it's another example of they didn't let Bernard Pollard go because of the cap. They thought they could get a better player because they – went out and got a player at that position and paid him money.
Well, they couldn't have both.
No, because they didn't want Pollard.
No, they couldn't have both.
No, because they can't both play.
The cap forces you to make decisions. Don't tell me it's not a factor.
Yes, you're right. You can only have one starting safety.
So I'm going to spend more money on his replacement.
All right. So the cap is still crap?
Yes.
Oh, I don't know why.
You know, I have no better example than the New York Jets, who were in cap hell and are now still in the top 10 of most cap space available.
What I'm telling
you,
Fred,
they got rid of all those guys.
Who are they?
But what I'm telling you, Fred, is if there was no cap,
did they have to get rid of?
What I'm telling you,
they cut crap because crap is the cap.
I'm not even going to get.
I'm not going to get into the cap thing. All I'm telling you.
It's going to be a long argument between two guys who are not going to get into it.
No, my opinion, and it's not fact, it's my opinion, is that if there were no salary cap at all, none at all, Bernard Pollard would no longer be on the Baltimore Ravens. They chose to replace him when they didn't have to. He wasn't a high-priced guy, and they went out and spent some money on his replacement. So in my opinion, they're telling you right there, we had no interest in Pollard anymore. And there's a reason he's been on four teams in 5 years.
All right.
That's what that's, again, not a fact.
Okay.
That's just my opinion.
Okay, that's fine. Mark in Peabody writes in, I have a question about playing time differences between the offensive and defensive line. It is generally accepted, at least on this team, that offensive linemen, barring injuries, play close to 100% of the snaps and don't have a rotation. However, on the defensive line, where players are generally smaller and more athletic, there seems to be a constant rotation of players at both the defensive end and tackle positions. What is the reason for this? Why do you feel you need a rotation on defense and not offense?
Well, they're generally doing somewhat different things.
Explain.
Well, I mean, there's passing downs when you want guys that can get after the quarterback or collapse, you know, pass rushers, depending on what their skill is in that area. There's guys who are better against the run. You know, there's true sub packages where you just have to take out a defensive lineman because you want to put in a defensive back. So there's just natural rotation. Offensively, if you had a run tackle and a pass tackle, it kind of would give away what you're doing if you ran your pass tackle on the field and then your run tackle off.
Yeah, and everything Andy just said is absolutely true. But I do sort of wonder why. I mean, obviously, the defense is declaring what they think you're going to do.
Right.
Oh, so, yeah. I mean.
And that happens. I mean, they run at your pass rusher
but,
or they.
Right, but offenses don't.
Pass on your run.
You know, and I wonder. My guess is that if you're a starting caliber offensive lineman, it means you're better than the guys behind you enough at everything to warrant playing over the backups, you know, to get back to our Jeff Demps thing. I'm assuming that the better talented guy isn't on the backup.
But how close is it?
But, you know, I wonder, has there ever been a guy that is a better pass protector than the guy that's playing over him, not a better overall lineman, and why they wouldn't make a change, you know, periodically? I think it's an interesting question.
Well, because they always tell us the continuity is the most important thing. There's a lot more of that.
Yeah, I think it's an interesting question.
There's a lot less games on the defensive line than there are blocking schemes on the offense.
I could see that being something that Belichick starts doing. Like,
because no one else does it. Oh, yeah. And
you know, I'm going to start rotating my offensive linemen to keep them fresh.
And that's when you'd get your Dante Scarnecchia retiring.
But I think that's kind of what the emailer was wondering.
No, and I know. Think Andy, and I think it's an interesting point that he brings
Andy
up.
Andy answered it, you know, because defensive linemen, different guys do different things. But I think
But couldn't you interpret that some offensive linemen do different things?
Yeah, no, but I think that, you know, we've also heard that, you know, early in the season, Belichick likes to rotate to keep them fresh.
Right.
And why, if you're just talking about, you know, stamina during the game, why doesn't the same thing hold true from offensive linemen?
Well, offensive linemen, in today's game, pass protecting is less energetic than rushing. I mean, pass protecting, you're basically standing there and just trying to fend a guy off. Whereas the guy trying to get by you takes a lot more steps.
Right.
Left, right, spin. You know, first of all, he has to fire off the ball. I mean, there's more energy expended pass rushing than pass protecting, in my opinion.
Right.
Now, maybe Matt Light will poo-poo it.
I would agree with that, too. But, you know, maybe if Vollmer comes down, you can ask him, is it harder to rush the passer?
He'll say, well, I've never rushed the passer. Maybe I'll ask him to help me work on my Giselle accent. Can you say something for me and ignore the actual words, my husband cannot throw the ball and catch it too? Just go ahead, Sebastian. Oop, phone's ringing.
Let's see.
Food.
Josh writes in. He says, sorry it's been a while since I wrote in.
I was not happy with you, Josh. I missed you.
I'm super busy at work and thought you could use this. Keep up the good work and go Pats.
A naked woman.
And then he has a whole big long thing about Jeff Demps. And I wish he would have just.
Congratulations. You get a whole big long
thing.
Yeah,
I think he just copy and pasted something from Wikipedia or something like that. So I don't know.
But is there any valuable information in it, like his split or something?
Yeah, I'm trying to look here.
Yeah.
You'll have to. Let's see if I get. I have other Jeff Demps emails. James Pettigrew says, it pains me to give Andy ammunition, and yes, your sponsorship is still there, fathead. But I made.
Thought you were dead, first of all.
But I may demand you dress up as something. Demps is ranked 64th in the world.
I said 52. I was pretty damn close.
In the 100.
Woo!
In the 100.
Yeah, see, I yes. happen to think that.
But that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the 400 by 1.
No, the 4
that's
by 100.
Whatever.
He's the 64th best 100-meter sprinter in the world. That's not good. That's bad.
Is it 64th in the world?
See, that's where that's where you and I disagree.
Wait a minute. In a sport that struggles to put on shows and make money, you think the 64th guy is going to make money?
Well, I don't know. I don't know.
I do. You won't.
But, well, you know, track and field, on a given day, you can have a better time. You know, the 64th guy could beat the 10th guy on a given day.
Is the 64th best golfer in the world making a lot of money?
Hell yes.
I'm not sure about that.
Are you kidding
me? And that's a sport that makes a hell of a lot more money than track.
Yeah, I think they are.
You think 64th is good in anything?
In the world?
Yes. Yeah.
In the world, yeah.
I do. Compared to
what? In the world. Like the 64th rated tennis player or golfer in the world
making some good money.
It's
pretty
just
damn
a jet.
Good. Yeah.
Well, first of all, you're talking about sports that make a lot more money than
running. I'm not talking about how like financially satisfying
isn't
this
that
could
where
be
we
for
started
Jeff
this out? Well,
yes,
Jeff
and
Demps,
and
career should you choose?
And if you recall,
if you love track, then go to track.
But
if you're looking to make money,
if you recall on Tuesday, I agreed with you on that point.
I think it's morphed off. I think Andy's original point.
You
was,
think he stinks?
As Jeff
Demps, I do. Yes,
you're never going to make a lot of money as a pro, being what you are.
Right.
I tend to agree with Andy's larger point on that. I think he's not going to make a lot of money. I just don't think he's going to make a lot of money in football either. Because I think he's far below the 64th best football player in the world.
No,
he's
still
like 100,000 64th.
No. But he doesn't have to be.
Right.
Could he be the 32nd or better best kick returner?
Well,
I mean, that's what he's doing as a job.
We've already established
I don't think he's going to make any money.
Now, maybe he sucks as that. I don't know.
And that's how I feel.
Well,
I don't think
you're automatically one of the top 32 if you're one of those.
Right. We've already established that from what people told us that as a pro track guy, he's going to make more money as just a jag in the NFL.
Right.
You know?
If you make a team in the NFL, you're guaranteed you're 385
and
or 400.
And I agree with that. I just think that he has a chance to make money in track for a longer time. And I think he'll eventually make more money in track.
Yeah, I don't.
I don't know. I don't think he's long for the NFL at 5-0.
I think the 64th best sprinter in the world, I can't imagine they keep you on the tour or whatever they call it for very long.
Well, I think you would have to improve.
Now, somebody else is emailing and saying, according to Wikipedia, oh, okay, I don't know. He says, if you want, I will send all the heats times top 30 in the world.
We don't need that.
Well, no, because he wouldn't be in it. We would need the top 64.
Yeah, I think the philosophical difference between Fred and Andy is how impressive being 64th in the world at something is.
Like that.
Or no, can you make a living in pro track as the
64th? Oh, I'm sure he can make a living.
I'm with Andy. He's not going to get rich playing track.
He could make a living. Like, make his 35th grand or whatever. That would be the same as if he went and sold insurance.
In track circles.
Why would he do that?
But I agree with Andy.
Because he loves track. Now we're getting back to if you love track, just do it. Why do you do what you do? Andy's, love what you do?
Your larger point is that in track, he's a jag.
Right.
And I would tend to agree with Andy on that. I just think it's more impressive to be the 64th rated sprinter in the world than Andy does. That's all.
Bah.
And he absolutely, if he was able to play.
Yeah, but you like Northeastern, and they're like the 400th best basketball program.
But if they were 64th, he'd be maybe more excited.
If he was,
they'd be in the tournament.
He would
need
to change his pants if they were 64th.
Yeah. Well, if they were 64th the year, they missed 7 shots in the last 20 seconds of the game against William & Mary. I still haven't gotten over.
What's he talking about?
That they
were. They made the tournament?
No, their RPI was higher than 64 that year.
Jeez. Oh, I'm sorry, guys. I didn't
anyway, I do agree with Andy's point about if he played 5 years in the NFL and he has a 5-year track career, he's going to make far more money in the NFL.
Right.
I just don't think that he is long for the NFL. I think he could be out of the league by August when they see that he's this 5 foot nothing guy who, you know, all he can do is run. And I really think that's all he is. I don't think he was a very good player at Florida.
He was running.
Orlando's in Springfield. Hey, Orlando.
Hey, fellas. How's it going, man?
Good.
What do you think of Jeff Demps?
Hey, guys, listen, I want to know, like, if the Patriots go for a wide receiver, which we can pretty much assume that they're going to go for a wide out.
Yes.
At some point. First of all, how soon do you think they're going to go? Are they either going to go in the first or second round for a wide out? And if they do, what type of wide out do you think they're going to get? Because I remember you guys saying, like a show or two ago, that Brady's arm wasn't as powerful enough to get the ball beat like it was in 07. So do you see them going for, like, another speed guy on the outside to complement Amendola and the tight ends? Or do you see them going for a guy like Keenan Allen out of Cal, you know, like a quick Jordy Nelson type?
I think they'll go for an outside guy who can get down the field a little bit. I'm not saying just a pure speed burner.
They should, anyway,
but
yeah.
I think that's what they need. That's I think that's what this offense, I think that's the role that's there. And again, that doesn't mean you run goes all the time. That just means when you catch it like Brandon Lloyd did, if you can make a guy miss, you have the speed to take it to the house. You have the ability to get the ball down the field and make some plays.
Yeah, and I would agree with that. And I also wouldn't necessarily eliminate those two things as being mutually exclusive. A Keenan Allen type, I think, can do those things. I don't think he's not a burner. He's been compared more to Nelson and guys like Anquan Boldin, but people forget that those guys make a lot of big plays down the field.
It's really hard because part of the not knowing what they are based on what they did in college, you don't really know how they're going to morph in a pro system and kind of how they're treated differently, running more routes. Because everybody thinks big play, you have to do what Moss did. Just run down the field and out jump a safety.
That's not what we're talking about.
And how often does that really happen? I mean, that doesn't happen.
23 times.
Well, I know, but that was a special season.
He was Moss, and to expect that is.
But he wasn't even Moss. He was the greatest of Moss that year, that time, that perfect coming together.
Right.
I mean, there's so much more to the game than making those plays, even for guys that are supposedly outside deep threats.
And
you know what I mean?
Second round, Orlando. That's what I
think. Oh, yeah, second round.
I think we're all looking for a second round.
Unless, I mean, I'm not eliminating first round.
I
think there's better value in the second, and if I think there's value, you know Bill Belichick's salivating.
Yeah, second round.
All right, guys. Take care.
Okay, thanks, Orlando.
Getting more rumors of your guy, Magnus Hunt.
Yeah, emails about him I'll get to.
Chad
has a good email, Andy. He says, you got to speak in a way that Andy understands.
Your mother.
Are the 64th best boobs in the world any good?
Oh, yeah. God,
okay.
Yeah.
All right, there you go.
But they're not the best boobs.
No. Well, no one's saying that Jeff Demps is the fastest guy in the world.
No one said that.
No, but he's a jag. They would be a jag boobs. They're not
on a pedestal. No, they would not be.
I didn't say I wouldn't take them.
Fred was all excited. Oh, no, they would not.
They would not be. Yeah. So
who has that? Should we do that? Should we put together a list of the top 64 racks in the world?
I don't think
brackets.
So.
We'll do brackets.
Brackets.
Can we do that, Fred, on the blog?
Probably.
No, we don't
not.
Have a blog.
We don't really have a blog anymore.
Yeah.
No, I'm not saying we would show nipple. I'm saying like we would just show like.
Can I say it now?
Yeah, that's what
even the Patriots' own website has.
Right.
Boobs.
Well, I mean, we have rank your favorite cheerleader right there now. It's not like we're that far away.
I know, but now
we
should have
set up.
We're talking
set up
anatomically.
Brackets.
I think it's a little bit different.
Should have set up brackets.
You're talking anatomically with the cheerleaders' faces.
No,
are you not?
We didn't mention their face. We didn't say who was.
How do you
prettiest?
Think people are voting?
We didn't. It's,
well,
it's
it depends.
Them.
Some
it's
people.
The hot or not thing.
Yeah,
it?
But some people it's based on breasts. Some people
it's
based
it's
on butt. Some people it's based on face. You don't get the personality, but
they might like the name and just vote for it.
Right.
Shamiqua.
Larry in Worcester wants to talk about Jeff Demps. Hey, Larry.
Hi.
Hello, Larry.
I was the one that said he was in the top 30 if you broke the heats down. Because we are talking about an Olympics. We're not talking about today or yesterday or tomorrow. We were talking about when he was in the Olympics. When he was in the Olympics, he was in the top 30. Because you broke the heats down of how all of the runners ran in that Olympics. And he was in the top 30.
So that's his times from the 4x100 that he competed
yeah.
in. So he
that's
was top
30. That's why it took 30. Me so long to do it.
Now, how many were there? Did he, like...
He only, I think he was... Hold on. I can bring it up. I think he was only in one. Hold on a second. One heat.
But how many runners are in your, like, overall?
Hold on.
In the Olympics, you mean? In that...
In the 4x100
right.
that he's
in
competing
that
in.
Hold on. I have
in
to bring
event.
It up.
Yeah.
But I have it right here. Hold on. If I clear this, I do.
What?
It is a. So we do four times. There's a, there is a little bit of overkill here. There's one, two. Oh, come on, move.
My food here yet?
One, two, three. There are three heats, and there are some duplications in those three heats.
It's okay to say I don't know.
Well, three heats.
All right, so you're saying he's in the top 30.
That's when I went looking at all the people who were running in the top three heats of the Olympics. He was in the top 30, yes.
Oh, so in the top three heats of the Olympics. So
well,
when his three,
about an,
yeah, but his three teammates could have carried him into those heats. If he had been on a crappy team, he could have been in.
Plus
oh, I see how it is.
Plus, if he's going against other people that are running in heats, I don't know if those guys that are running in heats for other countries.
He ran 9.96, which is under 10, which is pretty good.
But what I'm saying is,
I didn't say he wasn't like worthy of
running. You have.
He's
you
a jag.
You have.
I said he's a jag, and that's what he is. He's an Olympic running jag.
And you said that's not impressive.
It isn't.
Yeah, that's the difference.
I like greatness.
It's like you. It's like you say. You know, to say that
the only jag I've
Bam
ever
Childress
liked was James
is a jag
Sanders.
Receiver, it's still impressive
was,
that he was able to be
James
good enough
Sanders
to get
James Sanders a
the
jag
NFL.
Safety?
No, he was worse than that.
Other words,
yeah, I think he was a jag
stubborn
safety.
Person.
What'd
yes,
you say?
Andy. Well, yes.
Yeah. I'm not stubborn. You're stubborn,
Larry. Well put, Larry.
Thanks, Larry, for that research. I appreciate it.
Yeah, the, right. The part about the heats okay. That I was getting
speaking
at
of James
is,
Sanders, he's visiting the Steelers today.
You don't know if the other teams
Bouchette of the Pittsburgh Post Gazette
be good next to Paul Amon.
You don't know if the other teams have the guys that ran in the final also running in the heats,
right?
You know, obviously the U.S. at least in Dempsey's case, he wasn't running, so he can let it all hang out. Whereas I don't know if like,
right.
The other countries, they might just be doing the heats. And I just got to do enough to qualify. So comparing a heat time against someone else's heat time to me
aren't these
isn't the
like
same.
Heats done in different days?
No, yeah. Some of it is on the same day, though.
Are they?
Yeah, that's
okay.
Why they do some of this.
Okay.
There's a lot of different overlappings.
Like in swimming, the guys that are actually, you know, the Phelps of the world, they don't swim their best time in the heat. They just do enough to get
well,
to get
especially
through, to get to the final round.
The young girl then, was doing races like back to back.
Absolutely.
Remember she just went to that quick pool
yeah,
to like
right. Which I find
warm
amazing.
Up and then go back.
I find amazing
which is
that
ridiculous.
They're so well like conditioned.
Like she should
to
be
able
better.
To do that.
Like if I just asked her to do one of those, how much better could she be? That
yeah.
Day. You know, I'm saying you can still do all the events but spread them out, how much better could she be? Now she's elite. She's not a jag swimmer. Like
no
Jeff
one's
Demps.
Suggesting that Jeff Demps was a better sprinter than Missy Franklin was a swimmer.
Yes, that's the Loomis gets hotter by the time.
I'm
we
a
see
big,
her.
I'm a big fan.
I didn't think she was that hot in person.
Well, she was.
She was prego.
I was going to. She was always pregnant.
Well, she should have been all swole where it mattered.
Oh
Jesus
boy.
Christ. Let's see. Michelle writes in, not to be a know-it-all, but
speaking
Abraham went
breasts.
Out with an ankle injury during the Seahawks game. I still hope he'll end up a Patriot. That's all I got. Still sick. Fully counting on Annie to make me laugh. You're the best.
Thanks.
He probably has by now, I would imagine, because I was laughing at a lot of things he was saying.
And my guess is you've made her laugh already, too. Can I share our little story from our meeting yesterday about you, too?
Are you going to make fun of his PowerPoint skills?
What was that?
Go ahead, and then we'll take a break.
We had a meeting of, I don't know, 30 people, 25 people. So much so that there had to be upper deck seating because there weren't enough seats. And, you know, it was 3 hours of, you know, ideas and back and forth, multi-departments. And Fred had a whole nice PowerPoint presentation, except for the one time when he went out of it and then came back and goes, that's not where I wanted to be, and had to hit return about 17 times to get back to his page. But then he was adding to it at the end, and clearly Fred doesn't really know how to use PowerPoint because he wanted to start a new page with new notes, and he must have stretched out a box. Oh, hey now. first time he's ever been accused of that. 10 times, Fred? You pull down the right corner, then the left corner, then you pull down the middle, and the whole box would disappear.
Right, Fred, because Andy's never made a mistake in his life before. So
no, but
well, you know, Eric, when you never
oh, now Eric's your ally. You were just chewing him out last show.
When you never go out on a limb and try anything or take chances,
no, my
you know,
question.
It's easy to sit back and make fun of everybody who does.
I understand. It's the man. It's not the critic who counts. It's the man in the arena.
Those of us who do take the chances are the ones that tell those who don't take chances what to do every day. day.
Wait, Gritty Gutty Fred Kearse actually opened PowerPoint. What a competitor.
How did the first 17 pages of slides get done? Did you not do that yourself?
Yes.
What happened?
I copied and pasted a lot of stuff.
Well, the end of the story was the funny part. Is after trying to stretch the box, as Andy would say, several times, Fred finally just gave up and duplicated the previous page.
Right. And my favorite part is he's also I don't know if it's like a mouse looker. So when he was scanning to try to figure out how to do it, he moved the mouse over like every button, every tab. Which one of these is going to do what I wanted to do? It was very entertaining in the middle of a bit of a dry meeting.
All right, well.
Bit of a dry meeting now.
Notice it, Eric?
Because
Paul and I both noticed.
Yeah,
okay.
I did.
He yelled at me, you shouldn't have been paying attention to my PowerPoint. You should have been listening to what's going on.
I mean, it was hard not to notice.
So now
because
I'd like
a
to do a poll.
Screen, and...
Right, that's what I said. You put it on a mammoth screen in front of me. Now I'd like to know how many people in the meeting noticed this.
But
so
he got
what?
It. He found what
it's
he was looking
for. It's
not a
big deal. It was humorous in a three-hour boring meeting. It's
while
not a big
was,
deal.
While,
I'm not saying you're less of a person. I'm not saying you're
call
a jag
it a boring
of
meeting
a boss.
Again, while was, twice now.
Just because you didn't know PowerPoint.
While I was doing
I've
it.
I've never used PowerPoint in my life.
While I was doing it, it's not like the meeting halted to a stop while I was doing it.
No, but that was part of the fun
while
of
I
it.
Was doing it, people were discussing other things, and while they were doing that, I was taking the chance to do
exactly.
some stuff on PowerPoint. That's
exactly.
all.
Exactly, and that's why it was humorous.
Okay.
Doesn't fall under my rule where it's really a big deal. It was funny.
All right. I'm glad
he also had some issues with the dashes, where he would dash, and then it would bump in, and then he'd try to get it to go back, and it would bump in.
I'm glad I figured out a way to make the meeting interesting for you.
Well, you didn't figure out a way to tell me where the Diet Pepsi was. Yeah. You hid that in a corner so we couldn't drink it.
Paul just pushed his microphone away. It's time to eat.
All right.
Well, I thought we were taking a break.
Yeah. All right, let's take a break. We'll be right back.
Verizon Fios is America's fastest internet. How fast is that? Faster than Patriots linebacker Gerard Mayo can take down a quarterback, a running back, tight end, or an offensive lineman who just got in the way. In fact, Verizon Fios internet is more than twice as fast as anything you've ever seen. And that means Patriots scores, videos, highlights, and more right when you want them. Fios is built to support multiple devices simultaneously with a constant stream of your favorite Patriots content. And that means you get Gerard Mayo's sacks at Gerard Mayo's speed.
Now that's fast.
Welcome to a world of football where and when you want it. Welcome to Life on Fios, proud sponsor of the New England Patriots. Fios available in select areas. Internet speeds up to 300 down and 65 up megabits per second available.
Like so many soldiers returning home from combat, adjusting to life as a civilian hasn't been easy for retired Army Staff Sergeant Ben Dellinger.
The hardest part was getting out. You don't lose your friends, but like basically all those people get taken away from you all at once. It felt like my life was over at times. Everything I thought I was totally different.
American heroes like Ben face many challenges when they return home. That's why, for more than 90 years, Bank of America has partnered with military organizations to support jobs, housing, and critical needs of veterans and their families. We're also committed to recruiting and hiring veterans, reservists, and military spouses. And for Ben, we partnered with Military Warrior Support Foundation to award his family a mortgage-free home.
This is something I never expected to happen, and I'm truly grateful to each and every person involved.
To find out more about Bank of America's efforts, visit bankofamerica.com/military support. 2013 Bank of America Corporation. Bank of America, N.A. member FDIC.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop. Dine. Enjoy.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. Now's the time to take advantage of our low price value games. Whether it's the Boston Bruins, Boston Celtics, or Boston Red Sox, Ace has the tickets you need, starting at just $19. Ace always has the best seats at the best prices. And all our tickets come with a 200% money back guarantee. Ace has free and easy pickup by Fenway Park or across from the Garden. So treat yourself or someone special. Visit aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, better banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with bill pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call better banking. Sovereign Bank. Member FDIC.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
It's time to get down to the oldies with Paul Perillo.
Paul, big news in the disco. Donna Summer is dead.
No!
What did she sing?
Hot Stuff, Bad Girls.
Last Dance, right?
Last Dance.
I've heard everybody knows her for.
She works hard for her money on the radio. Fred likes to paint this picture of me, you know, at the discos in my prime. I would have had to have been about four at the discos.
Attached
I like disco.
Donna
I'm
Summer.
Not afraid to admit it.
You had a Donna Summer album?
Oh, yeah. More than one.
Oh, yeah.
I love disco. I do. Still do.
Now, back to the disco kings of PFW in Progress. Paul Boogie Nights Perillo and Fred Roller Coaster of Love Kirsch.
Roller Coaster of Love.
All right, back here in PFW in Progress. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Web radio at patriots.com is the email address.
Fred just burped.
Well, I mean, I just wolfed down a veal sub in, you know, 3 minutes or whatever the break was. It's tough. You know, you get all that air intake and then, you know, you get air bubbles. Right?
I know how burps work, yes.
Yeah. Scott says, Andy, you're in my top 64 douchebags.
Oh, I should be much higher. I'd like to think I'm more than a jag douchebag.
He didn't say where in the 64. He just said you're in the top 64. That seems to be the number of the day.
Unless it's top 30. Either way, not good.
I think it's Gerardo from Mexico City. Says
Gerardo Morito.
Greetings from Mexico City. Big fan of you guys. Quick question. Would you select Marcus Hunt with the first round pick? I believe we should add a cornerback via free agency and a wide receiver in the second round. I think Freeney and Abraham are too old. Marcus Hunt.
Marcus Hunt wasn't bad. I was looking at his film late yesterday. The guy who I didn't like at all, I don't know if you guys haven't seen D-Line yet.
Negative Ghost Rider.
There was a guy from LSU, defensive lineman, who was consistently getting in, I think LeVar Edwards, does that name ring a bell? He was consistently getting in the backfield, but he was completely whiffing on the quarterback. And just the quarterback would sort of, you know, run out of the sideline or whatever, which is fine. I mean, maybe
you never want to penetrate and not be able to finish.
Exactly. That's what this guy was doing. But yeah, Marcus Hunt looked okay to me.
I worry about his height.
Is he first round material?
He's in the conversation. I don't know. I worry about like the eighth best defensive lineman. That's
there's so
be
many
drafted.
D linemen that are going to be talked about as first rounders.
Remember
this
how Ty Warren was like number six or whatever, and he was okay. But I mean. Is this really that deep a draft on D-line and where the eighth one or whatever the number is? I don't know the exact numbers. Is worthy of a first-round pick? Right. I don't know. You get into that thing. Would you rather
and
have...
And that's where he's ranked for D-linemen?
He's, no, he's about eighth.
Yeah, I mean, he's in that hunt. I don't know exactly where people have
him. In that
so
hunt?
Speak.
Huh? Yeah.
Yes. But his height bothers me. I was telling Paul about this. I know everything's about taller,
turn
bigger, better.
Turn him into a tackle.
At some point...
Offensive tackle.
He's only 275-ish. He'd need to gain some weight.
Yeah.
But I worry where height, you reach that point where height is too much.
Yeah. No, absolutely.
You know, and tackles, I don't know if you're there yet at this whole, what's Vollmer, 6'7"?
6'8", I believe.
6'8". And, you know, now these James Harrison pass rushers and these guys that can get underneath you, quote unquote, and leverage, and especially on defensive line where you can be cut blocked and just chopped down.
He's like the Ziggy Ansah guy from BYU. He hasn't played much football at all.
Plus, he's older,
really.
Too, right? Like 28, 6?
Let's see how old he is.
I thought he was older.
It doesn't say on here. I don't have his age on here.
I think he's a little older. He does have a great nickname, obviously, the Eastern Block.
Yeah.
Alex from Philly writes in, still waiting for the patented flurry of Jag signings by Bill. Isn't this the time in free agency where Bill signs those 5 or 6 Jags like Antonio Gonzalez, only to be cut later in training camp? I have been so frustrated with free agency so far because I don't feel like we got any better. Yes, the re-signing of Tlaib and the signing of Wilson will help the secondary, but I'm not seeing improvement anywhere else. Re-signing Arrington was a big mistake. He's overrated in the slot because he gets beat just as often there as he does on the outside. Bottom line, I've seen the Arrington trying to cover movie before. I know how it ends, usually in the end zone for the opposing team. I feel like we're the same team we were last year. And yes, Fred, I know all about what that means, 12 wins, division titles, AFC championships, and we should be happy because we're not Raider fans, but that is the most homeristic piece of crap you've ever spewed on this show. I may not have been in those cold, hard seats watching the team go 2-14 back in yesteryear, but I am just as loyal as any fan, and I am tired of this team pissing away Brady's final elite years by banking on him to turn crap into gold. I'm happy with our draft status because whoever we would have drafted in rounds 4 through 6 would have probably gotten cut anyway. The last thing we need is more infusion of Jags to be cut. My message to the team is to stop restocking the practice squad and get some playmakers. So, written by Andy Hart.
That is not true.
I didn't mean to send that email to Web Radio. I thought that was just in-house.
I have been very open in my belief that they could be better just because of the year 2 jump and growth. You know, you could be better because you have Tlaib for a full season and not just a half of a half of season.
I just, you know, for all these people that are just so frustrated with how the Patriots do things, tell me the team that does it the way you like. Just tell me. Who is the team that does it the way you like to do it?
Well, the answer to that would be like the Redskins of a few years ago.
Yeah.
I didn't say it worked. I'm just saying that's what
the excitement
they want
factor.
Splash.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
They like the splash.
Right. Great.
I'm not saying it worked.
Great.
Well,
now Paul will tell you if they had Brady, it would have worked.
No, well, I think that goes without saying. I don't think I have to say
but,
that.
But, you know, let's look. You know,
but my point is I think that you can do it the way the Patriots do it if you're consistently replenishing the talent. And I think that at times the Patriots have been very good at that, and other times they haven't been. I think, to use your Baltimore example, I think that Ozzie Newsome has consistently done a better job of replacing guys that he's let go. Andy's guy, Kevin Colbert in Pittsburgh, I think has consistently done a better job of replacing the talent that he lets go.
But not through free agency.
No, whatever way.
No, but these people are upset with free agency.
That's the point.
And
no, but
the teams you just listed aren't really active free agency teams.
I don't want to speak for the emailer, but I think that when people say, you know, we haven't done anything in free agency, I think they're generally talking about off seasons in general. We haven't replaced the guy. You know, this particular year is not a good one because they lost Welker and they've replaced him with Amendola. So I'm not necessarily – this isn't Exhibit A for what I'm talking about. I'm talking about, like, you know, Asante Samuel and,
right.
you know, replacing him with a steady stream of guys who weren't as good as Asante Samuel. Now, Amendola, I think, is a very viable replacement for Welker.
But I think that, you know, and I don't know the answer to this, so before you jump down my throat, but I think every year,
oh, that's ridiculous.
I think every year there's like this consensus about Team A won the free agency, you know, free agency this year. They were the winners in free agency. And I'd like to know, you know, you take a list of all those teams, 2001 it was this team, how did they do during the season? Mm. Of the teams that won, quote unquote, free agency, how did they do
Well, they're
season.
Generally not
I don't
the best
know the
teams.
Answer, so,
no, but yeah. they're generally not the best teams.
Well, okay.
Just like the teams that generally win the draft are not the best teams.
Exactly.
So it's not like you could say
so
they won the Super Bowl
the next
year. Let's say
the next 3 years. How did they do the next 3 years? I don't know the answer.
No idea.
You know?
I also don't know who won who won free agency this year?
Well, right now,
I think the Dolphins are in contention.
The Dolphins and maybe the Broncos are in contention, you know?
So if they're better Does it matter? I mean,
well, it's very subjective.
They're not going
to
beat the Patriots.
Yeah.
So, well, and their only reason to think they could beat the Patriots is if Tannehill gets good and Brady gets worse.
I think the Patriots have been deemed winners of the draft very often recently.
Well, that's a little different.
Over
that's
the last, yeah, over the last five, six, 7 years, I think.
Draft.
Yeah. All right. Well, but I think last year, and specifically, there were a lot of people that were trumpeting their free agency. Fanene was a move that was met like they had signed right. Warren Sapp.
Well, look, if the Patriots get Emmanuel, okay, and you know, they sign Vollmer. If they get the Stewart, and let's see, they already signed Tlaib. I would say that's a successful free agency.
Who's
if
Stewart?
They get that wide receiver, Emmanuel Stewart.
Sanders. Not Lewis, not Stewart. Sanders.
I know.
And you don't need a pass rusher? If they don't get a pass rusher, I won't say they
okay,
have a successful
free agency.
Okay, so
if they get the wide receiver and they get Abraham, wouldn't you say that's a pretty successful free
sure.
agency?
But it's also based on expectations.
Right.
Some people expected $25 million, just this, oh, we're going to be aggressive, it's
2007, yeah.
And I tried to caution people against that because you looked at it and you said, if they Tlaib, Vollmer, you know, I expected Welker, but you spent that money in a similar way. That could eat up a lot of that money just by kind of status quo, keeping things together and what you wanted to do. They didn't have $45 million, but they also didn't have $45 million worth of holes.
And also remember that in 07, Moss kind of put in their lap.
Right.
That was a trade.
It was a trade.
That was a
draft weekend.
So
yeah.
It was late in the
right.
process.
You know, that was
Welker was a trade. Now, it could have been a signing either or. They were going
right.
to get Welker one way or the other. But they were also more aggressive. It was Sammy Morris, Kelly Washington, Dante Stallworth,
right
Dallas Thomas,
right.
Kyle Brady.
I mean, it was like a slew of basically first-round picks.
First day.
But they were all like former first-round picks or big names or, you know, and.
Our guy Hunt, by the way, is 25 going on 26.
Yeah, I knew he was
yeah,
older.
Yeah, he is older. Yep.
According to our friend Kat in Chicago. I'd take the Ziggy, though.
You're in love with the Ziggy.
I am. Well, because I'm in love with the.
You like those skinny little pass rusher.
The ultra athlete at
long.
That position.
You like your men long and lean.
JPP, I always liked him more than you did.
That's true. And then he got fat and happy.
Let's see.
That's what Coughlin apparently accused him of.
Emailer writes in, my name is Patrick. I'm a Patriots fan from Virginia.
Pat Patriot.
I've been looking at a couple mock drafts recently and not seeing Hunt's name come up as the Patriots' first-round pick. With an impressive combine and comparisons drawn between J.J. Watt, I'm very excited about this kid. Do you think it's possible the Patriots will actually pick him? And who do you guys see the Patriots picking in the first round?
I wouldn't be surprised if they picked him or a defensive lineman. That's right up Bill's alley. Stronger on the line. Big bodies. I wouldn't be necessarily excited over it either. But I'm a little down on the first round. I told you that. I wouldn't be upset if they traded out. And then got me a couple safeties and receivers and whatever. In the
I'd be upset because we'd have wasted all night for nothing.
Well, not as upset as the people that go to the draft party.
James Pettigrew writes in. He said, Fred, since when is creating a box and PowerPoint on your bucket list? I liked him better when he wasn't emailing in.
I was going to say, he goes away for like months, and now he's just unloading the emails.
Well, he's making up for lost time, right?
He could call in and tell us why he went away for months.
Brian at Brighton says, Fred,
no,
Andy's
no, he can't
full
do
of it.
That.
To mock you struggling with PowerPoint just shows he has no idea how to use it.
Oh, I've never used it once.
I've never touched
it.
I've seen countless people struggle with trying to do something live during a presentation. Suck it, big head.
And I knew you at times struggle because I hear you yell, Mora!
Yeah.
So? At least you do them, though. Brian Morey makes her actually do the presentation.
Yeah, see, I don't like people asking people
you
to do
give
that
the presentation.
Yeah, nor does Mora.
she
makes him put together the whole thing rather than Fred just does some, and then you know when the little box keeps disappearing, he asks for help. Except he didn't have a Mora.
Adam in Alexandria, Virginia, cornerback safety is the top priority with our first draft pick. I'm hearing a lot from media lately, you guys included, about fixing wide receiver, self-inflicted wound, mind you, in pass rush. I think we need a Rhodes or Trufant type at corner or even one of the top safeties if they fall, Vaccaro or Elam, before going pass rusher wide receiver, assuming one of the top rushers who are expected to be long gone haven't dropped to 29.
This Rhodes character.
He's an intriguing guy.
But I have my concerns, as always, about these corners who could be safety and
where
are physical. And well, is he a corner or is he a safety? And is he good enough to be a good safety or is he good?
Flat
that
out,
whole thing.
Flat out said, by the way, that he fully expects to Play a couple years at corner and move to safety.
Right. I don't like that.
You know, you don't hear too many like 23-year-old kids come out of college and
that worries me.
Projecting themselves a couple years
and
down the road.
Is that what we need?
Well,
because I'm going to ask yet again, what is Tavon Wilson?
They already drafted a guy in the first round who was a corner, kind of safety too.
So are we? When are we giving up on Tavon Wilson? Are we not? Are we? If people think it's this huge need, when you have a free agent starter who you signed in Gregory, a first round pick who you've decided is a safety, a veteran who was a Hall of Fame talent that you signed, and a second round pick, it would appear you have four safeties in your mix. So who are we giving up on? Which guy isn't?
I think that safety's okay. I'm okay going into the season the way they are at safety.
Me too. And that's why I kind of said the other day, you know, where do the needs lie? You could talk me into a corner much more than you could a safety.
Yes.
Well, because I think it's more valuable.
You have questions about Dennard or Dennard, or however you say it in your dreams. You know, fans obviously have questions about our new $16 million slot corner, Arrington. And then, you know, Dowling is Mr. Question.
Right.
I definitely, but that worries me that they would draft a guy, the versatility of Rhodes. Oh, he's a big corner who can place it. How about we just get a corner who can cover? You know Paul's thing? I don't want you to cover kicks. I don't want you to move to safety in year four. Can you cover?
Adam goes
can't
on.
Can't believe I bet on lunch.
Sign Abraham or Freeney. Bring back Edelman and focus on the secondary. Really am glad we got Tlaib back, but one of two things is going to happen. He either isn't going to be the answer, will miss significant time with injury or remain inconsistent, or he will play lights out all year and then New England won't pay what it takes to retain him anyway. We need a long-term playmaking defensive back. Second round, go get Andy True, ex-wide receiver. And third round, grab a complimentary pass rusher. Thoughts?
Didn't we do that last year?
Jake Beckett?
No, but I do think that he makes an interesting point. Like Andy just talked about, you know, how, you know, who do you need to replace here? You know, you have these safeties and you have these guys, but there is a big hole there in terms of long-term with Tlaib, and you might, you know, that might be a good point. You might have cornerback that adds to the ledger of Andy.
In all likelihood, you're either not going to want him back or really want him back because he was really good, but he's too expensive.
And that's the danger of the one-year deal. And I would say that I agree with the one-year deal. I think the Patriots did absolutely the right thing. Because I'm not really interested in having him on the team for the next 5 years. I'm not confident that that will work. The
difference between me and Bill Belichick is I would have paid him $9 million on my 1 year deal.
Now, if I were the Miami Dolphins, I wouldn't sign him for 1 year because that doesn't make any sense to me to lose him after that year when I'm not going to be a threat. But as the Patriots, when you know you're good enough to win it all, that makes sense to lock him up for a year.
Sold me on corner. Okay, I want a corner in the end of the first round. Give me, although there's supposedly such a drop off after.
It is. You know, and everybody's saying Milner and Rhodes even isn't going to be around at the end of that first round. Even a lot of people think.
Yeah.
I haven't really digested the mocks yet, so I don't know exactly where everybody is slated to go, but I've seen a lot of people say Rhodes won't be around there either. There's a kid from Houston that started getting some. Banks.
Hayden?
Yeah. He's starting to get some love for the Patriots, so I don't know if there's any truth to that.
I don't know. This draft sucks.
Will writes in. He says that in the news today, Dez Bryant thinks Danny Amendola is better than Wes Welker. So if you care what Dez Bryant
So you got Dez
thinks,
Bryant going for you.
Right.
All of a sudden now Dez Bryant will be a credible source.
If you care
is
what
there a less credible source? Mother's a prostitute.
Why would you do that?
Because everything that's on his mind has to come out his mouth.
No, but recently hasn't. He had the big feud with her, and did I see something flash across?
That's
they reunited.
Get back to Dez Bryant.
No,
you're going to have to issue an apology.
I'm not like Ted Johnson. I won't have to delete my Twitter feed. Did you see? I have no respect in that, Fred. Did you see that he deleted his Twitter feed?
Really? It feels real bad.
Okay, but you did the time, do the crime. I'm sorry if a lot of people were ripping you and sending you things.
Maybe he feels part of doing the time is getting rid of Twitter.
Why he didn't say it on Twitter. Don't blame Twitter. Blame yourself.
Right.
You said it on the radio. You giving up radio too?
If that's true, then you know you should be able to say, you know, I apologize, however many times it takes on Twitter, if you're really apologetic,
or just let it die down. And I mean,
maybe he's just going incommunicado for a while.
Yeah, he probably is best for him.
Well, so did he drop out of his radio show?
I don't know. I love Teddy,
and he had a national one too, and he knew it was dumb. Although he also
did he know right away? Right away, like when he said it.
I don't know. But he said, I made an error in judgment, which.
Yeah. What's the judgment? Was the judgment that you said it on the air?
Was what?
Yeah. So he said, I'm standing by. She's ugly. Yeah. I'm just saying I shouldn't have said it.
I should have said it. Yeah.
That would like, be that would have been a great update of the apology. While I stand by my feelings of just how ugly she is, I should never have made those opinions.
That
known.
Doesn't bother you that you just delete. You're trying to be a media member. You're a talk radio show host.
He's doing public displays of contrition.
That's deleting your Twitter feed?
It could be.
Why?
Because you like doing Twitter, and now I'm punishing myself.
Well, he didn't really.
I don't know.
Do a lot of Twitter. That's what you do. I just think it's a.
He's trying to avoid the.
Yeah,
criticism.
It's a chicken bleep way to go.
Oh, I see what you think that he just doesn't like the incoming.
Yeah.
Okay, I looked at it as like, you know what? I don't deserve this.
No, it's chicken bleep, I think.
Okay.
He's ignoring the noise,
it sounds
like.
If that's the reason,
I'm sure
then,
he's taken a beating over the last week.
You did the crime, buddy. Do the time. And we've all said it. We like Ted. Or Paul and I like him. I don't know where you stand. I like Ted Johnson.
Freddie
he
does
has
too.
His issues. He has his demons. There's a lot there. But this wasn't that big a deal. It was. You did a stupid thing and you said a stupid thing. But just take it. Take what comes your way. Just like Will Fork had to take what came his way, and she had to deal with some idiot calling her ugly on the radio. It's all just words.
Right. Yeah.
Unless Will Fork, you know, crosses his path.
No,
I could see it becoming more than words.
If he deleted the Twitter account to avoid hearing the critic, then you're right. You know,
I mean, I
don't think he deleted it because
I don't know that for
I
sure.
I love the Twitter so much, and I'm going to punish myself.
No, but I don't deserve the forum anymore.
I don't think there's much chance of that being the reason why he deleted it. While we don't know for sure why he did, my guess is that hell hath no fury like Patriots Nation scorned.
And I don't know exactly what he did because, like, TedJ52 still shows up. Like, you can search it, but if you click on it, there's like nothing there. It has no followers. No, it's blank. And I tried to click on like recent tweets, and it says like 4014. So I assume that means he deleted it. Because it's the same thing what happens when I try to go to Mike Florio because he blocked me because he's turned into a fraud since he got bought by NBC, and you can't criticize him one bit, or he goes into this whole thing.
Right.
It's kind of the same thing.
Right. Ross in Canada, random question for you guys pertaining to undrafted players.
The combine, he let him walk right by.
No. The question is, let's say a player decides not to enter into the draft in April or the supplemental draft either. Would they be eligible to try out for a team if their choice in the same of their choice in the same league year? Surely there is something in place for this, right?
Yeah, no.
They can't?
No.
You can't walk on to a team.
Basically, yeah, you can't just pick your team.
You have
as
to
a
have
rookie.
Been eligible for the draft. If you didn't get drafted, then you can walk on to a team if you get invited.
If you were eligible
for
the draft.
If you were eligible for the draft.
If you were eligible.
Otherwise, you become a supplemental draft entry. After that, I think they would just tell you to screw until the next year.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
Set out the year.
Because, I mean, Demps was eligible for the draft, but no one thought he was going to play football.
Mm-hmm. So he went undrafted.
Went undrafted. And then he came back later after he won his fraudulent silver medal as an undrafted free agent.
Fraudulent silver medal.
Simon and Molly in the UK hoping to come over for training
camp.
To work
around that, though, like with the way that the
you don't think some of these a holes would have tried it?
Huh. Yeah, I mean, I guess I'm just wondering what the actual loophole would be. You know, like that they actually close it. What if like Demp said, "I'm not going to even apply for the draft because I'm going to run track," and then he changes his mind after the supplemental draft.
They would tell him to screw.
So he can't sign.
He would go the next year.
He's not allowed to sign with anybody. He has to wait for the next year's draft.
I think so. Yeah. I don't know exactly, but.
Pretty sure.
My general assumption is.
You'd have to.
That would be
that
my
way.
General
Otherwise
assumption, too.
Would,
but I'm wondering if I'm making a you know what out of you and me by assuming.
No. There's somebody like Drew Rosenhaus who would have talked to guys way into.
Who,
this guy's available. It's September. Who wants to sign him?
Right.
You know, there would.
There'd be a lot more.
There's been too many Terrell Pryors, and there's just guys with some name recognition. I just can't see that they wouldn't have found the loophole if it existed.
Simon says, are there any players you see us trading for picks on draft day? We have no receivers and no pass rush. Still, plus a corner who may be in prison, whose backup has been on IR the last 2 years. I don't think three picks of any use is going to fill those holes. The sand holes that we never seem to fill.
Same.
He said sand. Sometimes when you're in the beach and you dig and the sand fills itself back, I guess that would be the opposite.
Okay. Because
and I always fill mine in before I leave.
Do you?
Aren't you supposed to?
Probably.
When the kids dig a big hole, I think you're supposed to fill it in so nobody falls in or gets hurt. I always fill mine in.
I think Spikes
you're
is
such
up.
A humanitarian.
I also always cover up the anchor when I anchor so that no one stubs a toe or anything.
When you anchor?
on the beach.
Oh, you have a boat?
Yes, you know this.
Oh, we've that's been right. Down this that, road. That big boat.
Shut up!
The Iroquois.
I think Spikes is up at the end of this year, and surely they aren't going to overpay another player at a non-impact position like guard, nose tackle, or inside linebacker. Maybe he'd fetch a second or third from the Jaguars, send him back to Florida. And maybe Mallett to the Raiders for a second.
Yeah.
Or Arizona, Jacksonville, Buffalo.
For a fifth.
Anyone else you see them offloading? I have no problem them trading Mankins and his contract, but I don't see anyone taking it.
I still like the idea of trading Jake Ballard to the Giants. Getting a draft pick out of it.
And if it's just three picks,
Jake Ballard,
I'd
best
go
receiver.
Pass rusher in one, receiver in two, corner in three. Hunt, see Marcus Hunt to us in the latest mock draft on NFL.com. I'd take him. And who would you feel better about starting at wideout in week one, Randy or Donald Jones?
Donald Jones.
I listened to you guys laugh him off as done when people call about him, but he's better than what we have, or Lloyd, or Stallworth, and he understands the offense, which no one else we pick up seems to. So
I'm still laughing.
Yeah, I still think he's done.
Forget about Moss, please.
Maybe they'll sign him, and maybe they'll plug him right in, and he'll prove me wrong, but he hasn't done anything in, what, three full years now?
No chance. Except against us.
And then he caught a touchdown, right?
Right.
Yeah.
But it's the only time he made a play.
And they force-fed him probably to be like, you know what? It's
well,
New
they
England
just knew
and,
they could because it's us.
Yeah.
I mean, Paul could get deep on us.
I know Michael says...
what?
He's from...
unlike you, I don't just say everything that's on my mind.
You should. It'd be a better world.
What's the University of Gulf Ridgetown? Ever hear of that?
Gulf
Florida
Ridge.
Florida Gulf Coast?
G-U-E-L-P-H.
Gulf. That's in Canada.
It's in Canada.
Ontario.
That's where he's emailing from.
Yeah.
He says, I know it's a bit of a long email question, but I remember reading an article in high school, I think it was in the Sporting News, that gave a detailed daily workout routine for then-Patriot cornerback Ty Law. In it, he gave the reader specific examples of the rigorous and intense exercises that he and other members of the team did before practices, during training camp, etc. Needless to say, all NFL teams give their players a rigorous exercise regimen during and after the season. But from this article, it seemed that there were certain players on the Patriots that took this routine to a whole nother level. I'm wondering if you know of any players on the Patriots today that also take their strength and conditioning to a different level during and after the season. It would seem that our younger players, to make a real leap in terms of production, it has to start here. And he wants to know, how is Moses Cabrera doing as the strength and conditioning coach? He's the assistant. Harold Nash is the head strength.
So you know all this strength and conditioning talk is emanating from Canada. Just wanted to
see what you did there.
Generally where
pharmaceuticals.
Generally where the nutrition comes from.
Well,
that, filters down.
Or Mexico,
but this has been,
some from Europe.
This has been big. Though,
I mean, there's
lately
we know the workout warriors on the team. Gerard Mayo is always here working out.
Jermaine
Cunningham. Your guy Trevor Scott.
Trevor Scott is a big workout warrior.
Jermaine Cunningham.
Yeah.
Who was I just going to say? Oh, Chandler Jones is working out with his brother.
Yeah.
Doing some MMA, which I've been meaning to ask. This whole Jay Glazer thing, isn't that a little bit of a weird...
conflict of interest?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
It's weird.
I think he's kind of...
That's like Deion Sanders.
He's kind of...
When he was
a little bit...
Shady.
Yeah.
I don't really have a big problem with it as long
as he goes to Canada.
As long as you... Well, yeah. But as long as you just, you know, you have
to
the
see
full
Canadians
disclosure,
games.
I don't like the fact that these guys, you know, there's clearly a connection there with Glazer. He trains a lot of NFL players.
Right.
And he's obviously, as a result, well-connected to a lot of NFL players.
But does that
so
matter
get,
is my question.
But when
you get information, don't pretend that it's because you're so great.
But does that matter?
What do you mean?
Like, is it any worse to be training a guy in MMA than to just be drinking with him on Saturday night? Like, is there a difference?
Because,
I mean, that's kind of the old school way. You're in the bar drinking, and now this is just a different avenue.
It's a different socialization.
To me, the Deion one is worse because it's rookies. He's doing the draft. He's it just to me that one feels even
dirtier.
Yeah,
he can sort of manipulate where the guy goes.
He's this expert on the guys, and yet he has a vested interest
working out
in
Michael Crabtree.
Certain guys,
right?
And that's not fair.
How do you know if he's being honest about the evaluation of the player or not?
I agree with all of you guys. I think that is
and the difference between having a drink with guys is a lot different than having a business relationship with guys.
Well, that's what I also – because I know
– quickly, I'm sorry. Sorry to interrupt, but news
Vollmer's
breaking.
Vollmer's not going to come?
According to – yeah, running out of time for that.
I think that's old news.
According to Jason LaConfora, whom I sat next to on the plane going to Arizona.
You fought with on Twitter.
Talk about soccer.
Michael Jenkins being signed by the Patriots.
Michael Jenkins. There you go. There's your corner.
So who wanted him?
Someone today.
Eldridge wanted him.
Eldridge! Hey!
Yes, woo! Eldridge, you got your guy. It was Eldridge.
Now you'll be happy when you buy me lunch.
Michael Jenkins.
Good signing.
McCourty stays at safety. Absolutely.
Oh, this is just cornerback depth. Veteran cornerback depth.
You don't
depth.
Think Jenkins is better than Denner?
Although, hold on a second.
Uh-oh.
He says wide receiver Michael Jenkins.
Oh, that's a different guy.
Yeah, there's
that's a different guy.
Yeah. Oh.
Not as happy about that sign.
Yeah.
That's really just depth.
Although that's kind of the guy that I was talking about that you when we were talking about wide receivers on Tuesday.
Was he with the Cowboys? Who was Jenkins? Michael Jenkins?
No, that's the cornerback.
That's the corner.
This guy, I believe, started with Tampa?
Sounds about right.
Did he end up with Atlanta?
I see Atlanta in my head, but
I see number 12 too. I don't know if that's right.
I think Atlanta is what comes
Atlanta?
To mind.
He's the Will. He's the Will Demps of receivers.
What's that?
Maybe he went to the Vikings. I think he started in Atlanta. Went to the Vikings.
Michael Jenkins.
I might be confusing with Michael Clayton.
Clayton was the Buccaneers.
But that's I might be thinking.
Should we go 5 minutes later?
But Michael Jenkins is not a great. But he is a depth wide receiver, and they need depth. They need guys to fill in those spots. I'd rather have him than Brandon Lloyd.
Okay. All right.
Really?
Yes.
Me too.
All right, well,
I hate Brandon
Lloyd, this is, in fact, going to happen, you'll hear more about it on Patriots.com.
40 catches for the Vikings last year.
40 catches for the Vikings.
And before that?
Michael Jenkins.
38,
Atlanta?
41. Couple
yeah,
of
but
teams.
Atlanta?
Teams.
I mean, Atlanta? Teams. What team?
Atlanta, yes.
Atlanta?
Okay. That's the guy.
Back
number
in 2010.
12. Okay. Number 12.
All right. Michael Jenkins.
Receiver depth.
Reportedly going to the Patriots, according to Jason LaConfora. All right. That'll be it for this edition of PFW in Progress. Thanks for listening this week. We'll be back next Tuesday, so we'll see you next Tuesday.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.